We go. All right, and we are live. Sam, welcome back to the channel. Everybody, this is Sam from Illegitimate Scholar. He's got a link to his channel down below. Go ahead and introduce yourself if you'd like.
Yeah, I'm Sam Samuel. I do Illegitimate Scholar bi-weekly podcast. Whoa, I'm getting feedback because I have it up in another tab. I do a bi-weekly interview podcast. I also do some standalone videos more recently, more coming out. And I'm kind of the second guy who's done stuff on Flynn Dibble. I don't know of anyone else. It's really just the two of us.
Yeah, there's been other people that have weighed in on it. But as far as videos made, it was just the two of us that I'm aware of.
Yeah. And then, but the bi-weekly interview podcast, different people, a lot of academics, alternative history guys, random people, Native American guy, stuff like that. Cultural anthropology is what I concentrate on, but I've gotten away from that because no one cares about cultural anthropology.
That's a sad thing. I understand that. I'm big into archaeoastronomy, and very few people care. I still make content about it on occasion, but I know it's going to underperform, so it is what it is.
I got to get you talking to Cam McConnell, and he's a guy who's been on my channel before. He's an archaeologist. Well, he's an archaeologist, yeah, but he's about to finish his PhD. And I've got a video on my channel from a while ago. I've done a few with him, but he does stuff into the connections between the Mississippian culture and the Mayan culture. And there's some pretty hard proof. I mean, I view it as pretty hard proof. It's just one thing. I think there's a few other circumstantial things, but he's an archaeoastronomer. And it's very, very cool. The rattlesnake disc was found in the Mississippian River Valley. And he does work with that disc, and he came on and he showed me all this stuff of the connections of the motifs as well as the alignments, and how the math works out to the rattlesnake disc connecting to the Mayan pyramids. And it's pretty hard evidence. You'd like more than one thing to prove a connection between these two cultures, but it's not like they're that far away. But it's also not like we know a lot about Mayan shipbuilding, as far as I know.
No, that's true. That's interesting to me. I've always found the skepticism between, like, the connection between South American and North American cultures. Like, I've always found that a little odd. It's like, to me, it seems kind of clear that, like, the mound building is, this is a Midwestern attempt to do what they were doing with stone in South America, but we didn't have the stone there, so they were working with dirt. To me, it seems pretty obvious that one's emulating the other, but I'm not a cultural anthropologist or an archaeologist, so what do
right,
I know?
Right, yeah, yeah. And I interviewed Graham Hancock recently, and that episode should be out tomorrow or the day after. I'm getting some stuff from Graham to post.
That's awesome. Yeah, I'm looking forward to that. He was, I'm sure he was a lot of fun for you to talk to. I know I enjoyed it quite a bit.
Yeah, absolutely insane. And that's where I get to bring in, like, I sneak the cultural anthropology in. I sneak it in with the questions, even if it's not overt, and people seem to like that. But yeah. Right before we got on, I was going to say that I looked up, so Social Blade is this website. I'm sure you know what it is, yeah. But for the listeners, watchers. It's a website that tells you, like, how many, both on Twitter and YouTube, like, when you gain followers and everything. And I realized that I actually got more followers on Twitter from being mentioned by Graham Hancock. One line mentioned on Joe Rogan by Graham Hancock. I got more followers from that than Flint Dibble did from being on Joe Rogan on Twitter. And I thought that was absolutely insane. I can't believe that. Yeah, I got like 10,000 from that, and he got like 6 or 7 that month for being on there.
Yeah, that's I'm in a similar boat where my Joe Rogan appearance wasn't even a month ago. It's like 3 weeks ago, and I'm at gained almost 33,000 subscribers. Is that be right? Something like that. 35,000 subscribers.
More than that.
So I was at 47, and now I'm at 84, is that right?
Oh, okay.
So 84, yeah. So yeah, it's like 37,000, and Flint's gained like 35,000 from the 6-7 months that he did it. It's, you know, I mean, that's I mean, to play devil's advocate, Joe Rogan's audience is a lot of them are more into the mysterious side of things and whatnot, but
yeah,
he did, you know, I you know, if I wore my leather jacket and then I put on a black leather bandana and I put a Sons of Anarchy ring on and shit, I wouldn't look weirder than he did on that. I mean, come on, man. God damn
yeah.
It. Anyway, yeah. What am I up. Doing for 100K?
Oh, 1 second. I'm sorry. Let me. No, go ahead. Go ahead.
Oh, somebody's asking, what am I doing? No Border Sports asked, what am I doing for 100K? I'll probably do a fairly large video. I'm doing a bunch of, I'm doing some research right now. Maybe I'll do a deep dive into one of three different things. I'll have to tell you, but it'll be a deep dive of some sort. But sorry, go ahead, Sam.
No, I'm just, you know, was changing the way I wear my headphones. I want to emulate my hero.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Which I had a hat. Good.
Oh, man. You know, something that I saw the other day that made me laugh really hard. You know, when I was on Joe Rogan, my headphones fell off. And that's like happens like in the first 10 minutes. So everybody sees it. And I didn't notice
that at all.
I'm glad it isn't actually, you can't see it. Like it's in the corner, but you can hear it. You can hear it. You can see me lean over to pick it up. And, but what's funny is this goes both to, it's a weird fucking thing for me. And it shows just how messed up legacy media is. There's a Newsweek article that mentions me that talks about that. That's what the fucking Newsweek article is about. It's not about, really? It's not about the content of the conversation. It's not, and this isn't like the Inquirer or freaking BuzzFeed. This is Newsweek. And the news that week was Dan Richards' headphones fell off when he was on Joe Rogan. And what?
Okay. Why? That's not news.
I don't know. I guess they're competing with the AI for seeing who could be the most benign, but mundane, most worthless.
That's legitimately crazy. I can't believe that.
Yeah, it's around. I mean, I've put the ad block on. Let's pull it up because we are live and it'll be a stupid ass thing to show. I didn't have to scroll too far down to find it either. Maybe it's on page 2, I guess. I looked for it on my phone.
Neck broke.
There you go. Yeah, you found it before I did.
You gotta be kidding me, man.
I'm telling you. It's not, I don't even understand how. Or did you find it? You found it obviously faster than me, but.
Yeah, I got it. You want me to pull it up?
Sure.
I put it up down below. You can bring it up.
Awesome. Thank you. Yeah, bam. There we go. Yeah.
Joe Rogan podcast guest worries fans during show. Thought bro's neck broke. I don't know what they're quoting here. I hope it's in the article.
It is. Like, it's a comment. They got 22 likes at the time of the writing of this article, which also was worth mentioning. That's all I know because they say it. For
fuck's sake. That's insane, man.
I'm telling you, man. This has to be fucking AI written.
Look, we can go through this whole article if you want to. We got enough time.
Yeah. I don't mind at all. Let's answer really fast here. Have always great work. Thank you. Side note, have you all seen Wes versus Billy Carson? No, but I'm aware that Billy Carson's suing. I'm pretty sure that's Wes that he's suing. So I am looking forward to digging into that a little bit because that is that's just not a good look. You know, he went on a debate and got sued because he whooped Billy's ass. That's what I've heard.
That is also what I heard. I wasn't going to say it, but I'm glad you did.
Now I'm not gonna like I just watched the dude's video that complained about getting sued because that kind of shit gets my attention pretty fast.
Yeah, I mean that's bad unless it's really bad. I think you should refrain from doing that. I wonder how that'll go. But yeah, one of Joe Rogan's podcast guests worried fans after they heard an unusual noise during the show. That's an article. Somebody wrote this.
Sorry, goddamn.
What I like to do in these situations is look at the author. I actually had a thread, and this isn't what I do normally, so I haven't repeated it, even though it probably would work really well. It's just not the stuff I want to talk about. But I saw a weird article that was just, I don't remember what it was, but it was about Trump. And I just went through the author of the article, all of their articles and how bad they were, and I did a thread on them, and it got 8 million impressions on the first tweet. It was insane. It's my biggest one ever by far. I should probably do it again if I cared about the views and the money, but I don't care that much to do that. Insane. I love how they describe Joe Rogan as a UFC commentator.
Yeah.
Like he doesn't have the largest ever show to exist in human history.
A bald man.
Yeah.
A bald man. Comedian.
At least they just like wrote here independent researchers that they just wrote what was in the description. 802. I thought bro's neck broke. At the time of writing it, it had been like 22 times. Why even include that? Like, that's embarrassing for you.
It's add more words to the article. I had to hit 500 words, yo.
Thankfully, it was just, at least they're glad that you didn't, that your neck didn't break.
Thankfully, yes.
Whoops, he said, as Corsetti continued to share his theory about Baalbek. And then they, and then down here, they just say that, say that you're wrong about Baalbek.
Yeah, of course. That's, I mean, that.
Facts. And then it's about Rogan criticizing Bill Gates.
Oh, yeah, of course, that's got to be in there, too, because, I mean, we did talk about that, or Joe definitely did. I think that Joe was on a pretty big adrenaline high from just from Trump having just won the election. He was pretty pro-Trump, so he seemed to, like, always want to circle back to politics. It was just where his head was, which I understand. You know, when somebody's head stuck somewhere, you tend to circle back to that whether you want to or not.
Yeah, of course. That makes sense.
Man show host, yes, Joe Rogan was the man show host alongside Bill Burr and Bill Maher. Well, wait, that's the wrong man show, yeah.
Fear Factor.
Yeah, Fear Factor was that show. Do you remember what killed that show? Do you know what killed that show?
I do. I did know at one point, and I forgot.
It's so messed up. They were like, they were having the contestants, they always had the part where they have them like eat fucked up shit, and they were going to have them like drink bull spunk, and that was like they're going to be the thing. And for some reason, like, the networks were like, you know, this isn't the kind of thing we can get away putting on TV. You know, nowadays they, oh, okay, maybe it was horse, says Ian, he might be right. But yeah, nowadays, like with that fucking Black Mirror, I mean, it would just fit right in. But you know, that back then it just didn't fly.
I mean, I don't know if they should have been canceled, but I definitely agree that they should not have done that. That is disgusting.
Yeah, it's just a little over the top, huh?
Yeah. Joe's talked quite a bit about how he didn't really want to do that anymore. I think they got him on for one last season because they offered him so much money for it.
Yeah, that makes sense. That definitely makes sense.
All right. I'm going to...
You done with the article, or you want to finish
yeah.
it?
Yeah. Do you want me to share who actually
wrote it? Yeah, who wrote it? We'll see who that was real fast.
Billy Schwab Dunn, pop culture and entertainment reporter.
Oh, fuck.
You know, it's nothing nefarious. It's just slop.
Yeah, it's just trash. And that's
Machine Gun Kelly and
it's Newsweek. That's the thing, is it's fucking Newsweek, man. That's the part that's like, I guess it's because I'm old and these names all have like a higher meaning to me. So like when Wall Street Journal or New York Times or whoever the fuck it was that did the hit piece on PewDiePie, that was just, it blew my mind because it was like full of holes. And it's like, what? This is not National Enquirer shit. Who are you guys? What the hell?
But it's all like that now. I mean, like the Guardian prints BS like from Flint.
Yeah. Well, it's all. You've seen the video where they have the names of the pilots from the Oceanic flight, whatever, the Asian pilots. They have them reported in real time. If I share the screen on that, will it fuck everything up or will it play it? We'll see. Because that one's actually hilarious. It's terrible, but it goes to show just how this was, you know, like over 10 years ago, but, they reported it, that 4chan trolls, I believe it was, contacted the news, and here we go. Make sure I get to this ad if there is one. I got ad block on, but okay, here we go. No. I'm not very good at this yet. All right, here we go.
Still trying to determine the cause of death and whether she was already dead when the truck hit her. We have new information now also on the plane crash. KTVU has just learned the names of the four pilots who were on board the flight. Yeah. They are Captain Sum Ting Wong, Wee Too Low, Ho Lee Fook and Bang Ding Ao. The NTSB has confirmed.
fact check at all? Anything? No? Come on, I'm, guys.
Like, the name F-U-K, that is a name in some Asian yeah. countries. You pronounce it fuck, though. It's not Fook.
Yeah, yeah.
It's fuck. Not. Oh, my gosh. That is insane, man.
I love it.
Do you remember the one, you know, we're getting off the archaeology here now. But, okay, cool. Do you remember the one with those guys that were being fired from Twitter?
I don't remember a news report from it, no.
All right. I can pull that up. I can do it very quickly.
Awesome.
That is one of my favorite ones ever. I remember, Ligma Johnson. Yeah, this is ridiculous. I'll pull it up right now.
Yeah. I haven't seen Desert Kites, Marcy, Marcy, Marcy.
This is like how bad these news agencies are, this legacy media.
Which team are you in?
I was on engineering.
Do you know how many?
I don't know. I know my...
Nobody knows anything. How did they tell you?
My director was in a...
I'm really sorry, by the way. I realized.
I've been on Tesla, man.
Right. Yeah, me too.
Is it your entire team or just individuals?
So... Some people are in the Zoom meeting, and then in the Zoom meeting, you can see the other people that are in there.
Who?
Okay. And it makes me worry about the future of democracy.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay. You know, it makes me worry about the future of celebrity conservatorships, like with Free Britney happened.
Michelle Obama wouldn't have happened.
And Elon Musk Twitter, I don't Elon know, Musk right? This used to be Twitter. A town square.
Obama 2008 wouldn't have happened.
Who laid you off?
Without
my director, our entire team got laid off.
You mean, yeah, how many free speech is when...
30 people.
What was your position here?
Software engineer.
How long have you been working here?
3 years. Out of college. My first job out of college.
Did they tell me you
walked from that desk and asked me?
Okay, I'm sorry. There.
What's your name?
I remember something different. Like, there's probably something else. I won't spend too much time looking for it, but he doesn't go into it at all. I wish I had that pulled up beforehand, but yeah, he brings up Michelle Obama's book, which is obviously BS. says it, that guy's name was Ligma Johnson.
Oh, for fuck's sake.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. Yep. The language on Easter Island is the same as the Indus Valley civilization in Northwest India. I don't think that's accurate.
That doesn't sound right.
The language on Easter Island is
Rongo. Rongo.
Yeah, that's the written language. The spoken language, if I remember right, is the same as the Polynesians all speak.
Yeah. Is it?
I think so. I mean, I could be wrong, but let's go.
No. It's related to that. I meant like I'm. He's the guy's insisting in the comment, so I'm saying.
Oh no, you're fine.
Is it the same? Like the I thought that there wasn't entirely continuity with the people who were on Rapa Nui Easter Island later.
Not. How do you mean by continuity from when? I'm sorry.
Like continuity between when it was the Rongo Rongo script, and then there was colonization and a replacement of a large part of the population. So I don't know if the spoken language later was the same one. The Eastern Islanders are from India.
It says their language is Rapa Nui, also known as Pasquan. It's an Eastern Polynesian language in the Austronesian language family. It is similar to Tahitian and Hawaiian. It has ancient roots in Southeast Asia.
Mm. Yeah, Southeast Asia, Austronesians, I think, expanded into Polynesians. I think it's somewhat up in the air, but they're, I think one of the theories is the Aino people, who are the indigenous people of Japan. Things are not as, you know, set in stone over there. They don't know as much as they do in North America and Europe. They know a lot.
Yeah. Yeah, that's... A big part of it. It's kind of funny when they talk about racism and stuff and all that, looking into things. And like one of the arguments is you guys only pick sites that are Graham Hancock's and Atlantis hunters only pick sites that are indigenous because you're trying to strip credit from Native Americans or whatever. And the reason is because those are the racism happened 500 years ago when all the records were destroyed. And now we don't know who the fuck built the things. But like, if we go to the Colosseum or to the Parthenon or whatever, there's like all these records that say this dude built it around him. And when you go to Roman sites that don't have good written records and that do have weird shit like Baalbek, same shit applies. Don't matter what color the people were supposed to be that built the site. It's about a combination of goofy big rocks and a lack of robust records. Those two things together is what you end up with people being like, well, I wonder if X, Y, anything from aliens to some lost civilization to anything in between.
Yeah, it's all BS. They'll use whatever they can to attack. I've never understood it. I guess it's just a territorial thing. It's a control thing. I think like the people who rise to the top of organizations like this, they have like any type of organization, almost any type of organization, the people that are getting to the top of them, they are people who are drawn to having control. And when like the incentive structure that leads people to that place, you know, if you look at CEOs, there's studies that show that there are specific things about them in a lot of ways, like they're taller than the average person, a lot taller. They also have higher rates of psychopathy. Like there are specific traits that are being selected for, whether stated or not. And it feels like that the people who rise to the top of academia are people who are conniving and looking for control in a lot of situations. And that's not always true, of course. It's never always true, but at a higher rate than the normal population.
Yeah, and it would definitely depend on the field too. It seems to me that the more room there is for personal interpretation, the more ego you see injected into there. Like with like neuroscience, for example, compared to psychology, you're not going to find many neuroscientists with their ego attached to their hypothesis, because their hypothesis is basically just an interpretation of hard data. Mm-hmm. But psychologists, on the other hand, they might not even have hard data in their hypothesis, right? It's just like built off of suppositions and like inferences and what people told this other person. And so the two where they bump into each other, I know a neuroscientist pretty well. She says it quite frequently that psychologists drive her up the fucking wall because of that exact thing, that they'll come at her with these hypotheses and she's like, it's not, that's just bullshit, man. And they'll get all upset.
In it's like, so I have 3 bachelor's degrees. And so that's like that. I'm not saying that to like,
no, you're fine,
brag about it. I'm saying it because I have like extensive experience in 3 different fields: history, anthropology, and education. And they're different. They're very different. And that's one of the problems with information in general, is that these fields are so segmented and they have their own cultures and their own ways of looking at things. But education is just absolutely BS. Like it's not all BS, but their paradigms are replaced every 10 to 20 years and new terms are added in. Like that, this is really where that term Latinx came from, which a lot of my Hispanic friends think is essentially a slur. And there was a poll in like Gallup or something where they found that less than 10% of Latin or Hispanic people actually identify with the term Latinx, but it was the term everyone used in college. I refused to use it, but they used it, all of them.
That's wild to me. It's that's one of the things to say about the modern world, that it's clearly has something to do, at least in my mind, clearly has something to do with the internet and with social media, because never before in history have that I can think of, have we seen people trying to just force language changes like we have right now. I mean, we you know, you have like these nationalist movements during wars and stuff, like the when in America during World War One when they changed like sauerkraut or whatever to freedom cabbage or some bullshit, and you know, shit like that, right? Yeah. But that kind of thing right there, where it's like we're going to deliberately force these changes on language, and then it doesn't come out naturally at all. It comes out of little corners of the internet, and they find some way to inject it into the mainstream, and then next thing we know, we have that. And it's fucking weird to me. It's just really like I tend to get less upset about it than other people do, because I guess I'm old enough that I just figure I'll just go smoke a couple of bowls and watch a couple of YouTube videos and the winds will change. But I see why people get pissed off. When I was younger, I get pissed off about it, but it doesn't bug me so much now. I mean, to be honest with you, it feels like just yesterday Trump got elected the first time around. So yeah, I'm fucking old. right. But it doesn't, it just feels like shit never changes. That's what I get kind of jaded about that stuff too. It's like, it's not that people, it's not like they don't have any effectiveness, but everybody freaks out about who gets put in the White House, and they have so, Trump didn't build his wall and Obama didn't give us free health care. Both of them had their ideas. Neither one of them got to do what they want, because we have a system that fucking works. It stops people from being dictators. It's crazy.
Yeah, for now. For mm-hmm. now it does. We'll see.
Well, nothing works forever.
No.
Sadly. And humanity is on a fast forward track right now, like the way society functions. Things happen so much quicker now, not just memes and shit, but like cultural zeitgeist, like the way, right. like what you were just talking about, that's in one generation. You know, my grandparents, did you play a recorder when you were in school, like a little fake flute piece of shit?
I did, thing? Yeah.
Okay. When I was young, my grandparents freaked out because it wasn't called a recorder in their generation. It was a sweet potato. That was the name of the instrument, and they felt like it was just a way to make them out of touch.
That's a good name change.
Yeah, fuck yeah, it is.
I don't think recorder is the best name, but it's a better name than sweet potato. That is ridiculous.
Either one sounds bad, but like blowing a recorder doesn't sound nearly as bad as blowing a sweet potato. That just sounds fucked up.
Absolutely. That's very, very strange.
Lots of people don't know that when Obama was elected, gay marriage was what passed in California. The movie Bruno showed this. Yeah. Gay marriage is a fun little thing to talk about. I always like looking at how the gay rights movement just kind of like hit a standstill there for a couple of years after that got passed. A lot of people just packed up and went home. They figured the party was over. The battle was won.
It should have been over. It shouldn't have extended outside of gay stuff. And then he started adding stuff to the flag. And now the formerly, like, you know, I'm not even saying anything negative here. I'm just neutrally. It's like they took what was a rainbow flag, and now it has, and I'm not joking here, it has disabled people, black people, indigenous people, there's lines for all of it, and trans people, it's just everything. They just kept adding it in. And it's like this idea of continuous revolution, which is like a Marxist idea, and I think that's kind of imbued into a lot of this stuff. You know, you would think that after gay marriage is passed and there's not like, you know, it's not like Stonewall riots, like gay guys aren't being beaten in the streets, that and it's not illegal to be gay, that you just be like, all right, we solved it, it's over. But there's whole industries attached to this, and there's incentive systems that keep people in line to continue on it, who rely on outrage and there being problems that they can fix to advance their careers, lives, anything. It's just
social media drove that to an nth degree, because used to be that, you know, the government could check, like, you've seen you know internet culture enough to know the G.I. Joe and knowing is half the battle memes, right? You've seen all those. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. That was from the G.I. Joe cartoon. It was at the end of every episode. They would have a tiny little clip that had fuck all to do with the episode itself, but it was a little, here's two kids cooking food at home. They light a fire. It's a grease fire. They get ready to throw water on it. And the G.I. Joe firefighter says, don't do that. If you do that, you'll burn your house down. Don't cook at home with your parents aren't here. G.I. Joe. They that was put on there because they fucking had to. You couldn't market television things to kids at certain times of day without some educational or moral shit plugged into it. So the government had some way of controlling these things. And they did it the way the government always does. We can't step on states' rights, but we can just do it through funding. You like funding? Mm-hmm. We'll send you some fucking money if you toe this line. We'll send you enough money, you're going to toe this line. Right. And so that worked out great. But now with the internet, you know, you get a lot of people that are extremely influential in and of themselves. And so they can go on, like one person can go make a video and certain people's videos can do really well, or mm-hmm. they can write one article and it can do really well and make a lot of impact. Well, if the things that they target are, if this person's been fighting tooth and nail for gay rights for the last 5 years, and now gay marriage just got passed, they still need a paycheck. And you can only do so many victory laps before people quit watching. So now what? And this is how you end up where a lot of these movements are now, where it's just like, fucking what are you complaining about at this point? I don't understand. You've got a serious problem somewhere, I'm sure, but this ain't it.
Yeah. 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 And it applies to other things as well. Like Joe Rogan's talked about this quite a bit. The homeless crisis in California that just gets worse. I mean, there's a homeless crisis in the whole country, but California specifically, like there's so many people, I think dozens of people in California and in specific cities that make salaries of over $200,000 a year to solve the homeless crisis. And it just gets worse. It just gets worse and worse.
I believe it. California's nuts, man. When I went to LA to, film my interview with Graham Hancock, and I'd never been to LA. I'd been to Bakersfield or that area years ago, back in the 80s. But I walked around the neighborhoods there, and holy shit, like I'm walking by a house that here in Spokane would be worth like 200K, maybe 300K. And then I'm looking at the car and I'm like, is that a fucking McLaren in front of that? What in the fuck am I looking at? Why do they have a Roto-Rooter guy in front of the house? They don't have a fucking snake? My God, they got somebody raking their leaves? What the fuck? They were all just rich motherfuckers because they owned a house. It was like, mm-hmm. my God, man. Yeah. It was so weird.
I like to check Zillow in those situations and just see how much it is. The house is probably $1 million.
Yeah, at least. I mean, I was walking through the neighborhood thinking that I was going to be, you know, just fine. I was just taking a quick puff and I didn't want to go do it in the hotel room. And I figured I'll just walk through the neighborhood. This looks like middle class place. Oh, fuck no, it ain't middle class. Yeah. Fucking security cameras everywhere you go, man.
You'd still be fine in California, though. No one cares.
Yeah, nobody cares. Nobody cares.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, Washington, though. No one cares in Washington either, right?
Pretty much. It's a little bit like if you go smoking on a street corner. Well, nowadays you can get away with just about anything because they pass laws that are like homeless people can fucking do whatever they want and people can rob like places and they can't do anything about it. And so ever since then, yeah, you can do it. You probably shoot up on a street corner nowadays for all I know.
Yeah,
I do see guys with their jackets over their head and smoke billowing out, and I'm sure they're not smoking weed. So,
I thought you were about to say they're not smoking cigarettes. Oh, that's terrible.
No, who knows what?
At least they have the decency to cover it. Like outside of Seattle, I don't know much about Spokane, but outside of Seattle, they don't care. In Seattle, outside of Seattle, they'll just shoot up wherever, just genitalia out. It doesn't matter. I'm gonna do anything.
Ian knows he lives over on the coast.
In like security guards armed at grocery stores is a thing in Seattle. Like I'm from the East Coast, man. I hope that doesn't come here. It's crazy how bad it is on the West Coast in a lot of places.
Yeah, no, they don't. They don't have, they just go in and take shit and walk out. They don't, the security guards here can't do anything. It's weird. Like I was at a Safeway and went in and was standing in line and this dude walked in with one of those purchased grocery bags, walked over and just filled it full of beer and walked right out right by me, right by the cashier and everything else. And I'm just like, what in the actual fuck is going on? And, yeah, we can't do anything.
That's insane. I mean, it's the breakdown of society. I don't think people want to know where that leads to, like disrespect for and like disregarding smaller laws then leads to disrespecting bigger laws. And, you know, that's coming. It's getting worse. It's not getting better, as the last time I checked, at least.
Well, another problem that comes with that is, like, okay, we like there's a park right here by my son's high school, and they've had a pretty bad homeless problem there until recently. And a year ago, I saw that last summer they had a birthday party there. I saw the birthday party, and I was like, "What in the fuck? Who the fuck would have a birthday party in this park? It's crawling with homeless people anymore." So I looked closely. There were two dudes standing at three different places by the street with they were packing fucking heat. They were all armed. And it's like, okay, yeah, that's how my point is that you end up creating a situation where your law abiding citizens become lawbreakers in order to have a normal fucking life. And wow. It's just bad. You're going to end up with vigilante justice at some point. There's only two ways about it. Even if it's just somebody that sees somebody come out of the grocery store stealing $100 brisket, and they're like, "I just paid my last $10 to buy my kids microwave food. You want fuck you?" That's still anyway. It sucks. Eat the poor. No, I'm not saying eat the poor, for fuck's sake. You know, what's a funny thing about this? If you go to Seattle and you go to Spokane, the homeless problem is pronounced, and the fucking parking lots. They show this, but if you go to the cities in the middle of the state, especially if you get to the on the western half of the mountains, when shit starts getting nice and moneyed, those they don't tolerate any of that shit. And you go to fucking Issaquah, or you go to fucking Snoqualmie Falls, and there ain't no homeless, and their parking lots all have the LCD screens in their car chargers and shit. We don't have none of that in Spokane. The copper is worth at least 3 cents, and that means it'd be gone. Mm. So,
okay. So it sounds a lot like Seattle, I guess.
Hey, thanks, Charles, for joining as a member. Much appreciated. Look at you go. Suck on me, Falls. Hey, that's terrible. Snoqualmie Falls is a pretty good place, to be honest.
Yeah. And also, we should say, like, it's not people that are homeless that are exactly the issue. You know, a larger percentage of them, of course, are addicted and possibly dangerous. But at the same time, it's these policies that harm the people that are not homeless in the area. They also call it harm reduction or something like that. But those policies just enable people to continue living lives that are not safe for themselves and not safe for anybody else.
Agree. They do it in a really stupid way, to be honest. Like, the vast majority of there are homeless people that have all kinds of different problems, but the vast majority of them here in Spokane have problems with fentanyl or methamphetamine or something like that. Mm-hmm. And they have chosen that substance, whether they made the conscious decision or not, they've chosen that substance over a normal life. So when they build a shelter, and then they say, well, the only thing is you can't have any of your junk in this shelter. It's like, well, why would you build it? You're building it for people who are hooked on junk, and they've chosen it over living in a home. So why are you building them a home that you know they're not going to want to stay in? This is stupid.
And maybe they would want to stay in it if people didn't enable them. Like, there are organizations, government as well as non-governmental organizations, that provide them with clean needles, that provide them with, you know, relatively small stipends, like, that allow them, like, it's possible that more of them would choose to have an option to get off the streets if it was worse for them. But for some of them, at the very least, it's nice enough, a larger percentage than otherwise, that they're just allowed to stay, that they can continue to live in the way that is obviously terrible and bad for everybody. But it enables them to continue to be addicted and to skate by in that life. And you have to make it not like, it's great for people to be able to get out, and that is impossible if people are given the resources to continue to be homeless and to continue to use drugs. And that harms them, and it harms everyone else.
Well, I couldn't agree with you more on that. The drug thing's weird to me, because it's like, if it's either, to me, it's a shit or get off the pot scenario. It's like, if you're going to make it illegal to do these substances, then make it hard to don't enable them. don't be kind about it. And if you're not going to do that, make them fucking cheap so that people quit robbing people's cars and destroying their lives for them. And you know, Amsterdam went through these kinds of pangs, and I don't really know if that's the best solution or not, but you have this time where the people who just can't really handle access to as much as they want end up in gutters, and you know, they get swept away. But other people figure out how much they can handle, and they learn to live with this stuff on the shelves next to them, and they have, generally speaking, normal lives. So I don't know. I'm not saying that that's a society that I didn't necessarily the way we should go, but it's this middle road shit's just it's doing nothing. It's doing nothing but perpetuating the problem.
Yeah. Yeah. It enables an unhealthy life. It does. Like, there should always be options for people to get out if they want to get clean. Not that all homeless people are addicted, but a lot of them are. And there's no, like, when you provide them resources that don't come with added responsibility and not being on drugs, then it's much easier to take, and a higher percentage are going to take that. They're going, and it's going to enable them to continue using drugs and prolong their life, but eventually kill them. Yeah. Unalive them. Sorry, YouTube.
Yeah, exactly. You're fine. No Borders says it would get rid of cartels, and that's true to a degree. If we legalize them, it would actually legitimize cartels, which is another reason to like think about that twice. Because you turn these guys from being illegitimate businesses into legitimate businesses, and that's, you know, kind of the last. I mean, maybe that's the way to go to make peace in the South, but I don't know if that's the way that I don't know if that'll actually make things peaceful down there.
Yeah, I don't know. Especially like we see how these policies play out. It doesn't seem like there's a lot of negative things that came out of marijuana legalization that we didn't
anticipate.
Exactly. I haven't seen this in a while, but I did see some studies a long time ago. Don't quote me. But I think that it's, that there were higher crime rates because of that in the areas that had it, which is confusing to me. And I don't know why that happened, but I guess it's just, I don't know.
I do know, I give you like some anecdotal evidence. A buddy of mine, we used to go downtown to the bars, but he quit going down because he works late at night, and he would stop on the way home and have a drink. And he quit doing that because he bought a joint once, and they come in these little plastic containers nowadays.
Yeah.
And so he had smoked it, and he'd left the container on the floor of the board of his car, and somebody busted out the window and took the container out and dropped it outside the car, though they checked to see if it was like, so that's probably part of it, is that people are just trying to hope that they could steal some weed. Another thing too, I'm not really sure, like it depends on the state, but I know that like Illinois has really bad taxes, and it hasn't stopped the criminal deal. Like here in Washington, you're going to be really hard pressed to find a fucking, an illegal drug dealer for weed nowadays. Good fucking luck. I can go buy an eighth of weed for $15 or $12, you know, and these guys are going to want 40. So I get one for 40, but you know, there's so much. One guy's one strain is shit compared to what I can go get at a selection at a store, and it's not illegal. But in Illinois, the price is so much higher that the illegal guys are still have a good operation going.
That's true in Connecticut as well, because it is so much more expensive. I think it goes down over time. I know in Washington, I bought weed in Washington over like almost 10 years probably. And it got cheaper over time. But in Connecticut, it's probably four times the price.
Are you living in Washington now?
No. I just go out there quite a bit. My family lives there. I couldn't do it. I couldn't move out there. I know you live there, but it's expensive and worse. And I don't know how it's more expensive than Connecticut. I'm moving to Pennsylvania, but it is. I can't stand all of it. Like the whole thing. Maybe if I was from there, I wouldn't mind it as much, but. Also, it's nicer in other places, like not Seattle, but like Bellevue's nice, and there's a few other towns, like you were talking about in the middle of the state.
Yeah, Spokane's not so bad. I like Spokane. As far as I mean, there's parts of it that suck, but as far as a bigger town goes, it's got that big small town thing going for it still. That probably won't last another 15, 20 years, but it still has this. It's big, but it doesn't feel too big, and you're never too far from nature. It's not like where you're like in Seattle or even some of the other places over there. It feels like they have to like either put nature as part of their city or you're just fucking away from it.
Yeah. I love the rainforest out there, the national parks, like away from Seattle is absolutely amazing. I do love it out there.
Yeah. I mean, but
yeah. There'd be no point in moving out there if I was moving that far away from my family, though.
Yeah, Ian's lives in the deep woods in Northwest Washington. Fuck yeah, it's nice up there.
Very nice. What's that? Squim. I love Squim. They have this animal preserve out there that has a bunch of animals, and everyone's great. It reminds me a lot more about like where I'm from. I like it a lot.
I look like Hagrid with AIDS, and I look like Gandalf on unemployment. You know, you say that a lot, but that's not what your mom thinks. So, but come on, we're gonna do these fucking cheeseball one-liners. Your mom thinks I look like freaking James Dean. You have to go Google who he is because you're probably just a kid that plays Fortnite. Ha ha ha! Skibbity Rizzler.
I know it's bad to do it, to just sit here and like argue with the comments, but this guy Cap Atheist has been going off on me because he misunderstood what I said, and the rest of the comment section is just making fun of him, which is hilarious. What a freaking loser, man! And also coming to your channel and saying, oh, what's your expertise? What right do you have to speak on this? You're in the wrong place, bro. Yeah. Go hang out with Flint Dibble, you idiot. What are you doing? Why are you here?
Yeah. Oh, God.
He said I blamed addicts. I did the opposite, you dumb motherfucker. Fuck. I am blaming the government and the NGOs that enable them to continue living like that.
I look like Jack Black if he had a soul. And lost some weight. Come on now. You know, fun fact, you know the Atari game Pitfall? It's the original Atari Pitfall is one of the most popular Activisions. When Activision first became an Activision back in those days, and Pitfall was like their first real big killer app. And Jack Black was a kid in the advertisement in the commercial for that.
Really?
Yeah, like he's like everything. He's about my age. So you're talking, you know, this is like 82, 83. So he's a little guy.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. We talk about archaeology sometimes, too. Don't worry about that. We make videos about stuff. And then sometimes we have live streams where we just chat about things. So,
yeah. And also I do anthropology, like cultural anthropology. And yes, by the way, I would have said it earlier if I cared, but I have a degree in anthropology. Not that it should matter. You can still learn things without getting a degree. That's the whole problem. But yeah, cultural anthropology, not archaeology. I still do archaeology. I still did an archaeological field school, which according to David Miano makes me an archaeologist, which I disagree with, but by his definition, I'm an archaeologist.
Thank you, Benjamin. Merry Christmas to you too. Much appreciated. Yeah, that's one thing that's kind of funny. It's really been hilarious to me that I've been kind of focusing on lately is the way that they don't, the double standards that are applied to that sort of thing where Milo Rossi makes shit arguments picking at Graham Hancock. Flint Dibble makes open falsehoods picking at Graham Hancock, supported by his followers. And then all these guys, it's like you tell us that science corrects itself, that science is self-correcting, that science fixes its own problems. But here you are like relying on us to find it out on our own. And then you double down on it and just make fun of us for you tell us, well, you don't have the fucking, you're not accredited enough to say what you're saying or whatever. But it's like, yeah. If science is supposed to be self-correcting, why aren't you fucking correcting yourselves?
Yeah. Yeah. Seriously. And also like the errors and the sometimes lies, it's irrelevant to me whether they're lies or errors. They still need to be corrected. But they're like, they're egregious. They're absolutely egregious. I did a video a few weeks ago that's on my channel that goes through, like, it wasn't the first thread that Flint ever did about Graham Hancock, but it was one of the first ones, and it was the one that eventually would have him go on Joe Rogan. Mm-hmm. And I just started checking everything he said, and it's full of lies. Like, it took me, it's a 50 tweet thread, and the first video is 50 minutes long, because it's just going over every tweet. I find something weird in something that's wrong. He just claims things. Like, he just misrepresents. He says Graham claimed things that he didn't claim. I am more discouraged about the state of archaeology, the state of academia, than I ever have been, because this is worse than I ever would have thought that it would be. It really, really is that bad. There's so much of it that, like, I haven't made videos on all of it, but it's, I know me saying that is not like evidence in itself, but to get all the evidence that I've brought, it would take you hours to watch the videos. And that's not even everything that I've found so far. It's just what I've been able to produce. And there's just more he says all the time. There's articles he's written with issues. Flint claimed that there are hundreds of thousands of sites in the Amazon and in the Sahara. And I haven't seen proof of that. He didn't cite a source, even though he cited a source for Graham Hancock being a pseudoscientist, or a pseudoarchaeologist. And then I clicked on the source that he said for, like, Graham Hancock is a pseudoarchaeologist, and he provides a source. You go to the source doesn't mention Graham Hancock. It actually calls Joe Rogan a pseudoscientist or a pseudoarchaeologist. And there, as far as I, there might be hundreds of thousands of archaeological sites in the Amazon and the Sahara, but Flint provided no source, and I could not find evidence of that. And then Flint actually did respond to that. And when he responded to it, he brought up the Horn of Africa, which is not the Sahara. And he was like, yeah, look, here's the Horn of Africa. There's hundreds of thousands of sites here. It's like, you can't tell. Do you need a PhD in geography to tell the difference between these two places that aren't the same?
Yeah, that's wild. That was, yeah, it's been nice seeing you digging into a lot of his stuff too, because you do have letters next to your name and I don't, and you find things that I don't find because it's, you know, more into your wheelhouse. But which, by the way, for those of you who aren't aware, Sam's got, he was the only other person to make videos like this, that I'm aware of, the, like my ones picking at Flint, and you should check him out down below. There's a couple of links to his videos and a link to his channel in the description of this. But you caught him on the shipbuilding thing, in a lot more detail than I did, in a lot more areas than I did. But this is even funnier, where it's just this massive thing across the goddamn board, where it's just like he's just full of crap. And it's not just him, like you say. It's become a problem where it's the like you were saying earlier about the culture the culture of it is that way. John Hoops has got at least one falsehood that I'm aware of in an academic journal that he's got out and has no problem. Like, it's there. He hasn't retracted it, and I can't get the journal to retract it. And there it is. It just sits there.
Yeah. Yeah. And, you know, I guess it doesn't matter if they're the right person, which is very upsetting.
It's sad. All right. The Squid says, science can only be self-correcting when people or companies are unable to pay for the result they want. For example, Philip Morris paying for the studies in order to lie. Yeah, or the sugar stuff, where they were paying off the scientists to say it's not sugar, it's saturated fats and cholesterol.
And there has to be an incentive for somebody to prove somebody wrong. There's no incentive for anybody in academia, if they're in academia, to go after a larger, more prominent, more prestigious academic, because the egos get involved, and it doesn't matter if you're right. It matters for your career, for your well-being and your income, that you don't piss off the wrong person. So if they're wrong, it's irrelevant. It doesn't matter.
It's a mess.
Fly. And apparently nobody checks them. I noticed the issues. I noticed some of the issues with what Flynn Dibble said very early while I was watching it the first time. But it wasn't really my wheelhouse. I concentrate more on cultural anthropology, even though I know this stuff, especially maritime archaeology. But then after like a month, no one made a video. I didn't see anything on it. And I was like, wow, no one's going to say anything about this. This isn't a shipwreck. It's a canoe from a lake. This doesn't have anything to do with seafaring.
Yeah.
And then, of course, there's the straw manning. Like, there's the taking the weakest argument and addressing that weakest argument and ignoring the stronger points. They always, like, almost every week, somebody brings up how Flint Dibble said 3 million shipwrecks were mapped and how, like, that's not that big of a deal. And it's like, you're right, that's not that big of a deal. That's the smallest deal of the dozens of lies and errors that he made. But if you just bring that one up and pretend that that's the argument, then it looks like it's no big deal. They won't address the bigger stuff, like the fact that Flint Dibble's first site that he even shared on that episode of Joe Rogan was that this site was a Ice Age site. He was, and that was a big part of his argument. It was one of his two things. It was, he said two things. I think the other one was agriculture, but don't quote me on that. But one of them was Ice Age evidence. And the first thing he shares is a site that he claims dates to the Ice Age. I just read the paper. It dates to the Holocene. It dates to 1,000 years after the Younger Dryas, after the end of the Ice Age. It just doesn't. It's there's no gray area. It's a lie. And it's not a mistake. It's a lie. Unless he's that incompetent that he couldn't figure out that, like, unless he misread a paper that an 18-year-old first-year archaeology student would fail on. Like, it's embarrassing for him. It's very embarrassing.
It is very embarrassing. Yeah, the comment sections. They're having fun in the chat. That's so
funny. This guy Cap Atheist said he was leaving, and then he's still here whining.
He says he's thinking about unsubscribing because of you and some of the people in the chat.
Just because of a guest in his YouTube audience.
Yeah.
Private,
I don't know. I mean, I will say that around here, it is probably a good idea to have thick skin, because I'm definitely going to say stuff you're going to disagree with. I'm working on some kind of long videos right now. Some deeper research anyway. One of them, I was kind of surprised how fucking hard it was to like actually get into the meat of it to begin with. And that will be fun once I actually get it done. But I'm sure some people will disagree with some of my conclusions, and yeah, no problem. No problem. That's just the reality of it. I have videos that disagree with everybody on every side, and I piss everybody off at sometimes or another. So I even tell people when I go to vote and everybody else posts their little envelope on Facebook, I post mine too, but then I say, don't congratulate me. Don't bother liking this, because I'm sure at least one of the candidates I voted for, you hated. Basically just reminding you to get off your ass and do it too, unless you don't fucking vote. Yeah, about half the time I do say something about, you know, if you don't like bother research, if you don't even read the fucking pamphlet they mail you, please don't go today. Seriously. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. If you're just going to like, I'm just going to circle the ones that say Democrat or Republican. I don't vote for women. I don't vote for whites. I don't vote. You know, fuck you. Just stay home. Just stay home. Fucking fuck.
Yeah, I agree. I agree. Yeah, I'm distracted by the comment section. I can't do that. It's too much.
They picked on me earlier and asked if I was stoned or tired, and the answer is yes. By the way, guys, the answer is yes.
I'm just tired.
All right, well, have a good one, Cap Atheist.
Keep out of it. That's good, you little punk. Shut your stupid mouth.
Yeah, you walked into a big old little fight, Eric. Punk. Jesus Christ.
Come fight me.
He visits Washington every now and again.
Okay, let me know when you're there. We can hook it up. I'm sure there's a boxing gym that'll have us, and I'll whoop your ass.
Oh, fucking Christ! This is getting
sorry. I, you might be concerned about losing one subscriber. That'll really hurt your bottom line here.
Oh man, yeah. At this point, I do gain even on a slow day. I gain well over 100. So
yeah, exactly.
I'm gonna hit.
you know, to get into the creator stuff a little bit, people unsubscribe every single day. It's fine.
Every
people
video.
Unsubscribe, people come back. New people come in. It's never a thing. Like, I don't know about you, but I'm not concerned about it at all. Someone says they're unsubscribing. All right. Like, what do you want me to do? You want me to tailor my content to you?
Yeah.
And then someone else is going to be mad? I don't give a shit.
No, again, I'm old, and there's the singer, I want to say Ricky Martin was his name, and did this song, Ricky Nelson. That's right. The song Garden Party, and the chorus says, it's all right now. I've learned my lesson well. You can't please everyone, so you got to please yourself. And he's not just talking about your sex life. He's talking about life in general. Yes, Captain Salty, 2.5 million views just on YouTube. The Rogan thing has. Then I'm on Spotify. It's got some too, but I haven't checked all that stuff. But yeah, I've gained a lot of subscribers.
You can't look it up on Spotify.
Oh, you can't? Oh, there you go.
No, wow. But it's more the majority of the... Well, that was true in the past. I assume it's still true. It's probably less true. Because like he was off YouTube for a while and then he came back. And in that time, it's kind of changed. A lot more people use YouTube now. Audio podcasts have kind of fallen off quite a bit.
Well, yeah, the video is kind of taken over because, why wouldn't you on most situations now? In most situations.
Yeah. Yeah. The other thing on that, by the way, I really like the creator stuff. There's a guy we both like, Turkey Tom.
Oh yeah.
Gen Z dude. Yeah. He fights with his chat all the time. I think it's hilarious. but I like if you just pick on one person's being a dick in the chat, you just pick on them when they're being a dick. Usually way more people enjoy that. So it's actually a positive. Kind of off topic. What's your thought about a theory that Jesus was buried in India? I've never heard of it. No opinion.
I've never heard that either. So I thought maybe you had, but I figured I'd throw it up there. Yeah, Turkey Tom's great. I think it's been fun watching. If we want to talk, we'll talk about this for a minute since we've been off topic the whole fucking time anyway. The whole brain rot KSI Lunchley Logan Paul thing. How much have you followed that mess?
Quite a bit. Yeah.
Yeah. That's great, man. That's fucking it. There's no question in my mind that at this point that they're rage baiting in order to keep the ball rolling. But 2 months ago, Dan TDM puts that tweet out and fucking KSI melts down over it for, I don't even know how long. It's like over a month.
One tweet, Dan never responds. It was insane.
It was fucking wild. KSI makes this video. It's just like him ranting for like 10 minutes about what a horrible person Dan TDM is and how great he is. And then Dan TDM's response is some like Instagram reel about living the life. And it's just like him with his kid fucking jumping on a trampoline and shit.
That's awesome.
Well, it's like, things are going well in my world. I don't know about you.
Yeah.
But
that's so good.
It's so weird though.
Like, obviously Logan Paul, I think, is a very bad person. He was starting to grow on me again until he decided to sue CoffeeZilla, which makes me hate him.
Yeah.
But hot take here. I liked KSI's song. I liked it. That chorus was corny, but I liked the song. I really did. I never said that to anybody because everybody hated it. And I think a lot of people were just screwing with him, to be honest, because of how upset he got about it. But no, I liked it. I thought it was a good song.
You know that's going to be clipped out now and used. Like that's the one part of this that people are going to use.
Yeah.
Now there's one that I fuck with my son with that shit all the time. The being a dad that's my age that knows that. I mean, I'm 10 years older than most of his peers' dads, right?
Yeah.
So, and even to them, that shit's a little out of touch. So, when I come into his room and I'm like, to the ring, to the bling, to the ding, to the ding. God damn it, Dad, get that fuck out of here. Ah!
Oh, yeah.
But it's a lot of fun. Captain Salty says he'd like to hear my guitars. One day I'll dust it all off and like, as you saw my picture of the telly, it's pretty dirty and stuff. I don't even have calluses anymore. I haven't played in like 2+ years. I played when I first started making videos, like on my second video, third or fourth video, somewhere in there, I play like acoustic guitar for like 2 minutes. I think that's literally the last time I played. I just don't play anymore, sadly.
I did an interview with this 20-year-old kid that plays banjo music. And I ended up producing some of his stuff. I had him come out and recorded a bunch of stuff with him. I haven't put them all up on his channel yet, but I recorded them professionally because he was like recording on like a cell phone camera. So now he's got like really, really good stuff. Really high. Like his playing's incredible. His singing's great. He plays like old folk music on the banjo. And I pulled out my guitar. I have a Dobro, and I was going to play, and neck was just bent to hell, and I haven't played since because my guitar is all messed up. Yeah.
Oh, dude, you pie plate and everything?
What's that?
Your pie plate Dobro? You had the nice little metal topped one?
Metal topped? I mean, like, it's got a metal sound hole.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah. Pie plate. That's what I was meaning. That's sorry. I grew
I
up. Like,
no, I think I knew that word before, and I don't remember it. I've been way out of it for a long time.
Oh, you're all right. I grew up in the Midwest with like Southern Illinois, where it's kind of. You ever seen Ozark?
Yeah. Yeah.
Think the redneck family's on that show. That's where I grew up. I did grow up with a touch of an accent. Okay. Like the first time I heard the N-word, it was my grandma. So,
oh, gosh.
Okay.
Sounds good.
Oh, not really. It was kind
no,
of
no,
like,
no, no, no.
That was driven home that evening when I was playing Atari, and I was calling the bad guys that, and my mom stuck her head, and she's like, what in the? Well, that's just what I heard today. Anyway.
Oh, yeah. Glad we've grown out of that.
Oh, good God. Seen. Well, I was, I think, 5'4", something like that. I wasn't very old. Good. My grandma sounds awesome. Jesus Christ.
Yeah, you're it's like that.
Yeah, you know, you're going to get those. It's actually, I've talked about it a little bit before. It's one of the things that I kind of try to keep in mind a lot, because it's easy to be, a good person in a lot of areas and be an asshole in a lot of others. And that's a prime example is like my grandparents were really good people. They were very good. I grew up where they pronounced it Missouri. It's Missouri. And you were heard people call it Missouri, but those were the people that came from up north, like Chicago.
Yeah.
For the chat.
I have an aunt in Oklahoma who pronounces it like that. Always throws me off.
Yeah. Missouri. Let's put it this way. We don't drink up in the north. You drink pop. In the Midwest, they drink Coke. Where I grew up, we drank soda. You didn't drink soda. We drank soda.
I hate that.
I'm going to go get me some soda. And that
my
was
my sister in Seattle calls it. She calls it pop. All right. Don't know how that happened. What's up, guys? All right. Where are you at, Cap Atheist? Come out, you little troll. Come out from under your bridge. Let's get it going. My name's Samuel Urban. I don't care. Show your user. Where's he at?
I don't know. I don't know what the fuck happened there. But anyway, sorry about that. The Joe Rogan and Quentin Tarantino interview is a must watch. Yeah, I haven't seen that one yet, but I'm not in my 20s either.
Yeah, I haven't seen that either.
I would like to see it. I mean, Quentin Tarantino is somebody I liked a lot more back in the day. I love the Grindhouse. I like old cinema. I mean, like the media shelves that you can't see right now. I mean, I've got tons of like crappy old movies that I'm a big fan of. So the fact that he was into those definitely was like I loved Pulp Fiction when it came out. And I thought that movie was because it did have a lot of those elements sprinkled throughout.
Yeah. I used to really like him as well when I was like a teenager, really into my early 20s. But, you know, I used to think they were just the pinnacle. They were so good. Reservoir Dogs is the best movie ever made. And then I realized I was just 19 years old.
Yeah. Yeah. Thanks for joining Hrogthar the Dane. Mr. Cultural Anthropologist, how the fuck do you pronounce that? Put you to work.
Hrothgar the Dane?
There you go.
Hrothgar,
there we go.
Yeah, I pride myself on my pronunciation. Sometimes I don't get it right, but I kind of have to.
I like always get them wrong. It's become such a thing on the channel, I just fucking just say it wrong. He's telling us how to say it in the chat. Spelling it. Yes. Thank you. I love it. How do you say that? He spells it a second time. Fuck yeah. That's date all the way.
I had a I just interviewed the, it's only on my Patreon right now, but I just did an interview with an Austrian professor who's at the University of Bergen in Norway, and he didn't know how to pronounce Oaxaca, which I realized after looking at the word Oaxaca. Like, I know how to say it, obviously, because, you know, Oaxaca is a thing we know how to say in America, I guess, but he's not. So Oaxaca, like, I realized that it looks so strange. Like, it how would you know how to pronounce it if you didn't already know? O-A-X-A-C-O.
Yeah, that stuff's difficult. Hey, Dave, I'm glad you were able to join, bud. Hope you're doing well. He's been a subscriber since the very, very early days.
Oh, that's very nice.
Yeah, it's weird. It's weird how some of those pronunciations are. For myself, like, I've always worked construction, and, like, I'd bring the books to the job sites. I used to bring Fingerprints of the Gods to the job sites, but I started bringing Heaven's Mirror because I found that quickly if people did ask me questions, I could at least explain it to them by showing them Heaven's Mirror. I couldn't really show them in Fingerprints. I'd have to read to them. But in Heaven's Mirror, you could just show them, like, the first picture looks like a skyscraper, right? So you kind of get an idea of the direction this is going. And those are the only people I ever had to, like, bounce these ideas off of, for the most part. Those and the potheads and fucking, you know, LSD-addled hippies in the early 90s. So it's like, most of these words I'd never heard any of these things said in the real world, man. Like, all these words, portcullis, I've mispronounced my first video doing it because I've never heard anybody fucking portcullis? Say it. Yeah. I never heard anybody say it. It's a goddamn magic card as far as I was concerned.
I also just realized I mispronounced it's Bergen. It's not Bergen, but you know, Bergen. I'm American.
Yeah. Yeah. We don't do those little acts, what the French call the accents. Yeah, we don't do those here in the States. Any if it's got more than one dot above your name, we just remove that and just make the whatever sound. We either have a long sound or a short sound. If you watch Letter People, goddamn. Oh, Capatheus, just wanted to express my appreciation. You taking time to respond with civility. Apologize for interrupting stream. My own lack of.
Apologize, you little punk. Yeah, you got scared, huh? You knew I was coming for you.
No, you're fine, Capatheus. I'm not trying to be dicks to nobody, man, to be honest with you. Even the Flint Dibbles of the world, I would like to have my conversations with civilly. It's frustratingly certain people, that's just not
it's just not realistic. At the same time, like, I'm really screwing with Capatheus.
I don't actually care, clearly. Right?
But the complete lack or willingness of, like, you can't respond to that with, like, you can, like, if you're nice back, what does it do? Like, if I have no problem with if somebody is being a dick to be a dick. And but, like, I won't go as far as Flint. And, like, you know, Flint tried to get me banned off Twitter. He tried to threaten you with getting kicked off YouTube. I mean, like, real disgusting stuff, man. Like, that's my income. That's your income. Like, and then to whine about people trying to get him fired and claim that you said it when you never did. It's just, it's more than rude. It's evil. Like, I he's a bad person.
I can't argue with that, to be honest with you. He is, him and John Hoops are both, and they are, like, I hate to use the term because it got hammered away out so heavily, but they are literally, they're deplorable. They're fucking, they're deplorable humans. I'm sure that there are some things about them that are decent in their personal lives, but I can't find a goddamn thing about them on a professional level when it comes to their outreach to the public that is worth a single solitary fuck. It's all just crap. Like I said in my last video, if every single time I talked about archaeology, I made a point to mention the racism of the 1800s and made sure and mentioned that that was part and parcel of archaeology today, I would be doing the kind of shit that they do to Graham Hancock, right? It's just gross. Mm-hmm. It's just gross.
It is. I can't wrap my head around it. I've been very surprised by how they... like I wasn't expecting it to be this bad. And the majority of like archaeologists are nowhere near that. They wouldn't do that. But also a surprising number of them defend those actions, which also has been surprising to me.
That's where I've actually, I'm actually getting kind of rude about that one with certain people online. Most of it's happening behind closed doors, because I have a lot of conversations with other big name content creators, a lot of them on the other side of the fence. And fucking, I'm at the point now where it's like, look, man, you don't understand. If you don't have to like denounce the man, but if you're going to be like, I side with Flint, I side with Hoops, I side with this narrative, dude, you're just going to, I'm not going to differentiate from you when I talk about people being pieces of shit. And there's a whole herd of pieces of shit that are out there. And I do think, I mean, I have to toot my own horn for a second. I do think they're thinking twice right now. There's like almost no responses to Ancient Apocalypse season 2 out right now. And I do, that is a little bit weird compared to last time. So,
yeah. Granted, it's a smaller release, like the season 2 of any show is. And season 1 was so exceptionally popular. But you would expect some, and I haven't seen any. I haven't seen a single one.
Well, I'll tell you one thing.
There probably
for sure.
are some, but I just haven't seen them.
I did a response to one that was just a few archaeologists, and they responded to one of them. But I know that, like, say Milo Rossi from Mini Minuteman. Say, I would imagine, given how much money he made last time around, I'd imagine that he's working on his responses to season 2. I would also imagine that he is taking me into account as he's doing so. And that, I mean, again, I have to toot my own horn too much here, but it's, these fuckers went way too long without getting fact checked. That's why it was so nice to see you making videos on this too, because it's like, I was the only voice, like there were other people in the comment section saying things, but they got away with it for fucking ever.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, the video that Emperor Tiger Star had up, that thing was up for like 2 years and had just massive amounts of errors in it.
It's very weird. I can't wrap my head around that either, because there's a clear incentive to not only make a response to Ancient Apocalypse because of its popularity, but there's then an incentive to respond to the responses to Ancient Apocalypse. So for whatever reason, and it was like slim pickings. Like I felt like I was pulling off, like, you know, I was low hanging fruit. It wasn't really that hard. It was very obvious stuff. So I don't get it, but more for us, I guess.
Well,
but it's too much for us.
It is. I think part of it's the psychology involved. I think that the more sciencey minded people tend to be more skeptical. So they tend to end up not siding with Graham Hancock and all that shit. And the less sciencey people are not so inclined to dig into all of that stuff. And they don't really care. They don't look at it and they say, wait a minute, that's fucking bullshit. That's not how isotopes work. It's, you know, they're like, okay, cool, whatever. I don't give a fuck. I don't trust this guy. I think he's lying. So,
I don't care either. Like, that's like my whole deal, illegitimate scholar. And people will like, people comment below on Twitter sometimes and be like, yeah, you are illegitimate scholar. I'm like, yeah, that's why I chose the name, dude.
Dumbass.
They don't seem to know what illegitimate means, I guess. I think they like take it as a negative thing, but it's kind of a neutral term. It means not legitimized by like an official institution, which I view as a good thing, because the official institutions are mostly crap. And they have low trust from the majority of Americans from polls from Gallup. You can see that when they go down. Universities are 36% in the United States.
Yeah, no, I would, that's very true.
Yeah, I have something to say on this if you don't.
Go ahead, absolutely, tear into it.
Yeah, so there certainly are situations where women were warriors in the past in certain situations. Some of those situations are like forced by like human geographical factors. But at the same time, there's also like one of my biggest pet peeves in archaeology that is that grave goods, like making far-reaching conclusions from graves without the context of that culture without other understanding of that culture or why they're putting goods in those graves is very ridiculous to me. It doesn't make any sense to, if all you have about that culture is a grave and you don't understand their funerary rituals and why they're placing things in graves, what is like, what's going on in there. And like a female skeleton that is buried with weapons does not necessarily imply that that was a warrior. But politically that is the thing that people want to push. So they push it. But yeah, that being said, yes, there were cases where women were warriors. But that doesn't mean that all of those cases we've seen recently where there's a woman buried with a sword, that doesn't mean she was a warrior. We don't know why she was buried with that sword. It's unscientific. It's broad conclusions. This is an issue with the interpretation of archaeology that allows for people to, in that gray area of interpretation, place their name and the legitimacy of an institution onto their conclusion to push their personal political narrative.
Yeah, and one of the things that I think is important to keep in mind that we deal with it now a lot differently than we had to deal with it in the past. You know, if you, and anybody can understand this if you think in terms of very small groups. If you have 100 people and 100 men and 100 women in a tribe, 100, and you have to choose between wiping out all of one or the other but one, it's clear you're going to kill off the 99 men and keep one, and because this is the only way to keep the tribe going. So societies have protected women as a matter of force and course for a very long time. It wasn't just women and children first on the lifeboats. It's you ain't serving in the military. You ain't working that dangerous job. And that, so it, that was a golden cage, you could call it, for a long time in a lot of cultures. So it depends on the society, really. I mean, if you look at the reports of the Romans when they fought the Celts, the Celtic women seldom fought back, although sometimes they did. But the what's-her-face, I forget her name, but the famous war... Thank you. Yep, yeah. I mispronounced it anyway. That I would probably make a joke out of the name, to be honest with you. But anyway, we'll move on to the next point. I need to finish it. It's interesting, but by the way, they filmed Graham so goofy, it's distracting. No hate, though. Yeah, it's a little
filmed like one of those old, not even old, but still filmed like one of the one of these documentaries. I don't love the way that it's filmed, but I love the information so much; it's worth it.
Yeah, I do too. And he was very smart with his. He took a lot less shots at archaeologists on there. That might be part of it too. In all honesty, is that it's not nearly as easy for them to punch at Graham this time around and look good because he took almost no shots at archaeologists in this one.
Yeah, but you also can't blame him for taking the shots in the first place because they've been taking shots at him. It's like they're allowed to attack him, but he attacks back.
Exactly, and then it all started when Graham hit me back. I tell Flint that all the time. At least I used to before he blocked me.
Yeah.
I made a post on X like 100% of their conclusions are based on assumptions. It felt weird that they were quote tweeting me. Anyone know that 100% in any statement is an obvious troll? I told them so and then silence. Yeah. these guys, they are not looking, they don't believe in obvious trolls from us. I mean, these are the guys that they'll twist anything up. All right. It's kind of pathetic as many things that they will twist into a knot in order to. Let's put it this way. I ask people to not contact Flint's employers to try to get him fired. And Flint lets people say that I've tried to get him fired. He has no problem with fucking repeating that narrative and putting it out there. He's fine with that. So. Yeah,
Flint also, I only realized this a few days ago randomly. I didn't even notice it at the time. But Flint took me telling my Twitter audience, unprompted, by the way, nobody in my audience said that they did this, but he screenshotted... selectively screenshotted out of context me saying that I should, that like nobody should do this, and he made the claim to people, a lie, Flint, you are a filthy liar, about me having to do this because my audience was harassing his work, which never happened. It's not true. And he also took somebody who is in his sphere who was harassing me, who likely sent by Flint, essentially, in the same way, which I don't really agree with, but that's the way that Flint framed it. And me responding to that as me, like, I don't remember exactly what he said, but he took it in like the opposite direction, that like that I was harassing people and that caused this. It's like, no, these people were coming to me because of you, which, you know, whatever. That's not really.
And then you yelled, you had the audacity to yell back at them on your own channel. You asshole.
Yeah. Yeah. It's ridiculous.
Yeah. My comments are full. I don't respond a lot to my comments on YouTube. Sadly, maybe when my son grows up all the way, I'll get a chance to. But as it is right now, the way the fucking notifications are is just all messed up. And so I have to make vapid comments. If I try to actually get into any sort of a conversation, it's really tedious to go through and find where the conversation goes unless I engage with just one person. And I have too many people to do that with. So
they don't notify you when someone responds. They only notify you the first time. And I would love to get notified on a response.
Even then, like sometimes the bell icon will on some, but like it will only do some. So like you can have like I'll go sometimes to a video that I was having a conversation on and fucking it's been dead for like 6 months and there's like 10 different comments and I haven't gotten into one notification.
Yeah. Yeah. It's obnoxious.
Anyway, I feel bad. So for those of you who are listening and watching, that's the reason. It's not because I don't like care about y'all. That's why you'll see my hearts quite frequently. I go through there and give you guys loving comments so you know it's me, or loving likes so you know it's me. But I'm just not. I feel really bad because I don't want to just have all my comments be like, thanks for that. I appreciate that. So much nice. So much awesome. You very good. Number one USA. But fucking sorry, that's my Korean buddy Sung Ho. Which, by the way, yes. God damn it, I keep wanting to send you. I texted him. I sent him a message on Facebook Messenger when I was in LA because I went to a Korean restaurant and I went to a nice one and they just put all this shit in front of me. It's just me and there's just like this mound of food. So I sent him a picture and I'm like, "Fuck, man, you in LA by chance?" And the very first thing out of his mouth was he called me Chingook, which is if I told
I
you was
that
a,
from last time.
Very first thing he goes, "Hey, how's my Chingook doing?" Like, God damn it.
That's
awesome. Yeah, he's great. But anyway, yeah, it's funny.
I love Koreans.
Me too. Korean barbecue is bomb. Bulgogi
really
and kalbi. Those are the two that are you'll see all the time that are just super good. But anyway, yeah, the thing with Flint that was funny with it was nice when you started calling him out too was the way that he's played it against me was that Dan doesn't know anything what he's talking about. Dan's just lying. Dan's wrong. He doesn't understand anything. But he wasn't able to play that card exactly with you because you're able to say, "Well, I actually took classes in this shit and I know what I'm talking about here."
Yeah, I studied under one of the world's most prominent maritime archaeologists who at a maritime college who and I worked at a Maritime Historical Society. Like, I have a lot of experience in this. I have like definitely more than Flint in maritime archaeology. I it would be very surprising to me if he had more official experience than I did. Not that that should matter, because it's about the information. You can just like, and I disproved him with scholarly sources from actual maritime archaeologists with PhDs specifically in maritime archaeology. And famously, Flynn Dibble is a food archaeologist, so maybe he should stay in his lane. That doesn't mean you know anything about maritime archaeology, and you've proven, Flynn Dibble, that you don't know anything about maritime archaeology, because you don't even know the difference between preservation in salt and freshwater, you moron.
But the sad thing is, let's be honest, he does, and that's what the really the sad thing is he was full of shit. I don't think that he was making errors there. I think that he was just bullshitting his way through it. I think that he had put this bullshit. The fact that he said 3 million shipwrecks before he went in there, this is something he like fact checked a bunch. So
yeah. He did like when he said 3 million shipwrecks that are mapped according to UNESCO, you sexy little loser. when he said that, it was like that wasn't on the screen, but like, even I'm more careful. I'm not a PhD out here. I'm more careful about what I say when, like, I wouldn't say something if I wasn't sure about it, or I'll put a disclaimer on it. I've said that a number of times here. Don't quote me. I might be misremembering, like, and that's real. That's me saying, I think I remember this, but people misremember stuff. I've found myself misremembering. I did this recently. I had said that caffeine is associated with higher GDP. And I was misremembering. That was wrong. That's, well, it might be true, but I don't have proof of that. I don't have proof of that.
Yeah.
Which is fine. It's okay to make mistakes, but just say that you made a mistake. Don't double down on it. Don't keep lying. Why would you do that?
Yeah, I agree. Hrothgar, was that Bob Yo? Was that what you were saying with the Hangul on the screen there? I'm not good with Korean, man. It's been like a long time. I know enough to get me in trouble. But what I learned back in the day how to say Hanguk Malo Beonung Goshi Oleop Sibnida. I mean, it's hard for me to read that shit. he said he was a translator, so he'll understand, hopefully. At least if he's an American that was a translator, then he'll definitely understand my pidgin American version of Korean.
Also, thank you, Purple Haze, for the nice stuff you said about me in the comments. I appreciate it. And I'd appreciate everybody checking out my videos on Flint and whatever else.
Yeah,
and
you
the
should.
Hancock interview, which is coming out.
Which is coming soon, yeah.
The day after. Yeah, I just got to get everything right. I'm adding a bunch of images to it.
Nice.
Which I'm very excited about.
Dude, that's really cool, man. I'm glad that Graham took the time to sit down and chat with you, because... This time he did a lot of grassroots interviews this time. That's pretty cool.
He did. Yeah. I would not have been so presumptuous to ask him for an interview, frankly, but he offered it to me randomly.
I do mountains of my own research, dickhead. Sorry. I was yelling at Derek real quick. I do mountains of my own research, dickhead. That's how I found out Flint was a big fucking liar. All right,
what do you mean your own research?
Yeah, do I do my own research? Do we just talk shit?
What is Ill Scholars Channel about? Do I battle many atheists? Not historically, but I would, if given the opportunity. I think I'm done yelling at Cap Atheist now. He hasn't said anything to me anymore, so I think I'm gonna not even jokingly yell at him. But no, it's twice, or it's biweekly interviews and then some standalone episodes. And then I do live streams every once in a while. I haven't done them for a while. I've been out of commission, but coming back, going to do them. And the part two thread video on the second half is coming soon. I did the first half, 50 freaking tweets, took forever. And there's more stuff to check on Flint, but I don't want to spend all my time reading what this guy says. I can't stand the sound of his voice.
Yeah, I'm probably just gonna do one more video on him. I'm definitely covering his last response, because that was, you know, he just continuously lies on top of lies on top of lies. So I don't want to make this the Flint Dibble channel. That's why my next video for certain is gonna have fuck all to do with archaeologists. It's gonna have to do with archaeology, but not any particular assholes or good people. But yeah, I'm kind of, I think my next one's going to be, it'll be kind of longer, but it'll be just kind of one and done. I'm kind of done arguing with that fuck nut, unless he does something that's actually worth a fuck.
And it's also that it's no longer as much of a topic. Like, Flint did not capitalize on being on Joe Rogan, in the sense of he did not create a lasting position on YouTube from it. His views have just gone lower, except when he mentions Graham Hancock. So that's probably when I'll go back to it. I might do some stuff with the papers or the articles he wrote, but after that, I think I'm done unless something new comes up.
Well, I wasn't trying to say that you should do that. I'm just saying that I'm at that point. Yeah. Yeah,
I am as well. You've done a lot more as well. Have I been to Moundville, Alabama? I've been to Cahokia. I haven't been to Moundville.
I've not been to, hang on. Is that near Mobile? It seems like I've been there, but I went to Mobile Bay and we stayed there. I went to Pensacola when I was in the Boy Scouts. So we went to like all kinds of places. It seems like we went to Moundville, but I could be wrong. Went to a lot of places at once. I went to Alma Joyville, but on freaking Ernest's dog. That's a good joke for anybody who gets that. Ernest P. Worrell, if you watched him.
No, I haven't. I have a planned video that's totally out of left field. I've written the script for it. I'll probably get to it in a few weeks. I've got, okay, so you know the Minions movie, right? The Minions?
Yeah.
I've got a theory. I've got a Minions theory that the Minions movie is actually, and the minions in general, are a complex metaphor for power. And I can prove it with video evidence.
Context, complex narrative for power, huh?
Yes. I promise you it will make sense. I'm sure you'll see it. I'm hoping not to get that copyright claimed, but we'll see. I don't know how that exactly works. I don't know how much I can use.
Keep the audio out of it if possible. That is one of the worst ones with using movie clips, is if you include the audio. Only use the audio when necessary. Voice over and show the clips.
I can't do it like that. We'll see. I don't know.
Yeah,
not here. It's fair use, but they might take it down anyway.
Oh, they don't give zero. You got lawyers? It's just zero fucks given. That's the way that works. Even you challenge them and you include like all the proper stuff. It's like, I'm going to challenge you on all this. YouTube doesn't read that. Mm-hmm. I mean, they can, but the other guys are the ones that get to decide. And they just look at it and be like, is that guy actually going to be able to? Yeah, fuck that guy. Take me to court, fuck nut. Oh, he ain't.
Okay. Yeah. We'll see. I'm going to take a look on it. I'll take a look at it and see if I should even make the video. Maybe I'll just make it and put it on Patreon.
Well, there you go. Or, yeah, you could even, you could do goofy shit sometimes with overlays and stuff, like something that big watermark on the screen that fucking moves. A lot of times that'll do it.
Yeah.
But yeah, it always sucks.
Yeah. Yeah.
Elon should buy YouTube. Yeah, I don't know.
I don't think he could afford it.
Yeah, he might be able to, but I don't know I don't have a problem with exactly with what he's done with Twitter at this point. I do think the blue check mark thing was definitely a fiasco for a while there. It definitely was put through clearly by design, but it threw everything up in the fucking air there for a minute. That just kind of shook everything up, because when your eyes are used to equating that blue check mark with legitimacy, and now it just means some fuck nut spent $5, it's not quite the same thing.
I think it's a good thing, especially because they could just choose who to give it to and who to not.
Oh, yeah. Well, I remember they took it away from people and stuff when they would piss people off. I remember that.
That's so funny. I wasn't even on Twitter back then.
Oh, yeah. I was on there. I've been on the freaking internet since before it was the internet, back in the BBS days when they called them modemers, and if you were, you had to steal freaking the numbers for long distance cards in order to get on any of the good places, because that, or you had to talk to the people that lived in your same local code, because it was all long distance. Like, you actually had to pay long distance charges to talk to people.
Yeah, I remember that actually. I was around for a little bit of that. That went away, and now it's all like free.
Yeah, well, it was a good 10. I mean, you know, when the modems first became a thing, that was the early 80s. I remember first messing with one, I'm thinking like 86, 87, somewhere in there, 11, 12 years old, something like that. And I remember getting Spy Hunter on the Apple II from a website, not a website, from a bulletin board. Yeah, things were a lot different back in those days. It was like a bulletin board service, like the ones that didn't host any files at all, that were just a bulletin board service that was just for communication, they were weird. You would go to like one dude's computer would host it. Okay, so it's not anything fancy. It's not like he's got this big mainframe. It's like you've got a freaking Tandy 1000 and he's got a Tandy 1000. And he's got two phone lines instead of one, and his Tandy can handle two people talking to it at once. And if you're one of them, well, he can have two different people calling in, and then he's on the computer, but he has to leave his computer open all the time, up and running all the time. Otherwise you can't talk to it. And so these were weird, and they're like, the archives are all on like on paper and stuff. The bulletin board days were like, you would talk to somebody and you might wait a month for a response. And that was normal. That was just like,
that's, yeah, it's crazy to think about that with what we have now, where wireless internet is ubiquitous and it's so fast. I remember downloading a picture took forever.
Yeah, I remember when I got Rocky, when I went to a friend's house, I should say, and was playing Rocky on the ColecoVision. And it was like,
I don't even know what that is.
It's a console that came out before the original Nintendo, but after the Atari. And the title screen for Rocky has like, it looks like fucking Rocky. And I was just like blown the fuck away by these amazing graphics, man. It's like, and you know, it's like some horrible 8-bit version of you know, two colors, right?
Yeah, wow, there's colors on it. It's not like Pong. It's not lines, you know, and pixels.
Do you ever play Vice City?
No, but I played San Andreas.
All right. Yeah, on Vice City, there it's in the 80s, and there's the advertiser on the, there's a radio station, and one of the advertisements is for the Atari, and it's like, they'd call it the Degenitron, and play that, all the games are like a red dot and a blinking red, or blinking green square, or some bullshit, like every game, be the blinking green square spaceship that fights the red dot enemy, and be the blinking green square car that chases the red dot, it's just all stupid shit.
Well, that's fun.
It was cute, and Vice City was the best, yes, Vice City was, in my opinion, even though there wasn't some of the quality of life improvements, like Jesus Christ, whoever thought that you should start over missions that are 30 minutes long when you die should be shot. Oh, but God. The Vice City was such a great game. I mean, that game was so much fun and so funny. That was Rockstar at their best, in my opinion. That and Manhunt. Holy fuck, Manhunt was good.
Horses never went extinct in North America, according to latest research. I have to see that because that does not make any sense to me.
No, not to me either. And Ken Dewey's, I haven't looked into a lot of the things, but they've been a commenter on my channel for a while and never said anything that made me think this person's should be disregarded. So I'll have to check that one out.
What's the latest research? Because the archaeological evidence that I'm familiar with is that, like, there's plenty of archaeological evidence from the plains prior to 1500. Even the horses were, they were allegedly brought in when DeSoto came into the Mississippi River Valley in the early 1500s. And they weren't in the Great Plains, which would make it very surprising that they weren't there if they were on the continent. And wouldn't there be a, there would be a, because of the isolation for tens of thousands of years of the North American population versus the Eurasian population, there would be genetic markers that would be very obvious for horses, unless for some reason the horses then went extinct, but you would find them in pre-contact archaeological sites. And I don't believe they're there.
No, I'll have to check that one out. Cause this is from Native American oral history. Okay.
That might be oral history from 12,000 years ago. I mean, there's oral histories in indigenous people in Australia about megafauna that went extinct 50,000 years ago. So it can last a really, really long time.
That is wild. That is really wild when you think about that. The how long certain things have stuck in our memory. It's one of the things that like the invention of the bow and arrow and stuff. I often wonder if that one, because it just seems so like there's a lot of individual inventions to make that happen. It's you know, it's one thing to figure out the tension can be used to shoot something. It's another thing altogether to figure out that I need to make a projectile that works. It needs to have a weighted tip. And then it's the other thing to figure out to make it accurate. I need to put flights on it. And you put all these things together and then you need to add to the power, you get a piece of wood that bends as well. You put all these things together. It's a fairly complicated invention. So it makes me wonder if it was just something that popped up in one place and spread out like in the early days of humanity.
Yeah, I don't know.
Because at one point, you know, to take it all the way back, at one point there was just like one family. There was like one little group of hominids that like their brains were kicking and firing in a different way than everybody else's was. That they were born with this little tweak, and so when those changes were first happening, you know, the first ones you would call human or whatever, the first ones, however you want to look at it, as they started to change and innovate and whatnot, you're going to have those what they call a mitochondrial Eve, I think they say.
Mitochondrial Eve, isn't that like pre-human though?
You tell me.
Okay, I don't know. That's not my wheelhouse.
But yeah, it's That might be, but even at that point, it would be like at the point when the innovation started and stuff, when there would be a point where like symbolic thought kind of taken over, where you see with less artisticness with other hominids, like Neanderthal, they have their tools tend to be not symmetrical compared to ours. Cro-Magnon tools are symmetrical, and Neanderthal tools just tend to be functional, and they didn't wear beads on their clothes like we did, and they didn't do a bunch of little goofy shit like that.
Right.
That just implies like more of a symbolic view of the world, where things like it's almost an insanity if you think about it. It's like when you look at things, you don't like. It's hard to explain exactly what I'm getting at here. Like you look at a object and you think of a word for it, and that word actually becomes that in your mind. Like if you think of smile, do you think of a person smiling, or do you think of S-M-I-L-E? It's like this, it almost becomes an insanity with the human brain, where we are symbolic creatures. We think of things that in almost a non-real way.
Yeah, I'm not familiar with this. From what I know about Neanderthals, by the way, if you don't pronounce it Neanderthal, archaeologists will mock you, which is annoying. But I'm sure you actually knew that it was Neanderthal because you've heard that before. But
yeah.
I've even seen one of these archaeologists write like about the Neanderthals, like discussing them, saying, oh, these are Neanderthals. It's pronounced Neanderthal, like writing that out in text, not saying it, which is the most condescending bullshit I've ever. Actually, it's not, because I've seen Flynn Dibble, but the Neanderthals were living in smaller family groups. I did think that they did have quite a bit of art, though, and there is a period of time where they are coexisting with Homo sapiens, and but. The smaller family groups, it has a number of like consequential differences where because it makes them less social than Homo sapiens, which I think is the largest key difference, regardless of the material culture. Although I know that there are material culture differences between Homo sapiens and Neanderthals. But they, because of like, there's an example from, I think, the mountains between Spain and France. There were Neanderthals that were found on each side of that, and the material culture did not, there were not similarities between them over this mountain. But when the Homo sapien populations came in and replaced them, then there was evidence of shared culture over those mountains because of that. And that shows that the Homo sapiens were having contact with the people on the other side of the mountains or through a string of
yeah.
contact, whereas the Neanderthals were not. And also, there was this article that I read one time that it was an article written by anthropologists who were talking about how women were hunters, and there's evidence that women evolved to hunt. I think that was literally about the name of the article. And that's not in like their evidence. Part of the evidence they used for it, like I wrote a thread on this, it's on my Twitter, you can find it, but they used evidence of Neanderthals to make conclusions about Homo sapiens women, which is ridiculous because they're not Homo sapiens. But also what I think is more interesting from learning about that, they showed that there were wear patterns on, like when you, the famous example is the Longbowmen. There was that ship that was sunk, I think, by the Spanish Armada, and they found a cache of longbows as well as a bunch of dead longbowmen. And those longbowmen, because of the act over their lives of pulling back the bowstring, they had distinctive arm muscles, distinctive wear on the bone that comes from the muscle on the bone and how it wore down over time. So if there's a significant enough use of that, they can actually tell from the wear on the bone what kind of actions that person was taking and make conclusions from that. And the Neanderthal women had wear patterns that were consistent with hunting large game, just like the Neanderthal men. And I think that's for two reasons. And those two reasons are they are smaller family groups, which implies to me, and this is my own idea, I'm sure someone else has said it, but this is my own conclusion, that there's less of a division of labor between, because when you have less people, like a larger population allows for a larger division of labor. It allows people to specialize more because you have more people in living in one single society. And when you're living in one single society, you can put people in ever increasing specialized jobs. But if you're living in very small family groups, then there are situations where everyone's going to have to do everything. And also the fact that Neanderthals in general, their men and their women, they have more robust skeletons. So they were stronger than us. Not as strong as like a gorilla or an orangutan, but quite a bit stronger than humans. Not humans, sorry. Neanderthals are humans, but Homo sapiens.
Yeah. Do you think the knee whatever mated with each other? Well, yeah, they definitely would have mated with each other. They mated with humans as well, and our Cro-Magnons and Homo sapiens or whatever was around at the time. Yeah. You know, when you talked about the longbowmen, you know, the British, the two finger piss off symbol, right? You've seen this one before, Sam, right?
Oh yeah.
Okay. Yes. Do you know where that came from?
Yeah. The French had cut off the fingers of some English longbowmen. And then later they showed them to them.
Yeah. Whenever they would win,
you can cut it off. Yeah.
The French would surrender. It'd be like, yep, look, we still got ours, bitch.
It's kind of nice to only cut their fingers off so they're not effective soldiers, but they still get to live. I'll take that.
There was a reason behind that, though, from what I understand, because they still ransomed them like they were effective fighting men. So they give them to pay for
on both fronts.
Get them to pay for exactly. Get them to pay for the fighting men, and they get them back, and they actually need cared for, because it's like, I forget what it was in Bronze Age shit. I forget where it was, like in the Middle East somewhere. But one of the accounts of a battle, and afterwards, like 20,000 men were blinded and sent home, and that was done to cripple the society that sent those soldiers over, because that's 20,000 mouths to feed.
Yeah, exactly. Right. And that was a lot more consequential back then, when a much larger percentage of the population is engaged in agriculture. You need those specialized longbowmen. Those are huge. Like that takes a lot. So getting rid of a lot of them. There's a comment here that I wanted to. So we're talking about Bigfoot. Okay. So Bigfoot, this is something that I covered in the Flint Dibbles thread video, his first thread video. They're always talking about respect for indigenous cultures, right? That this is like a core thing. And I actually also talked about this with Graham Hancock when he came on. And I am somebody who has enormous respect for indigenous cultures, Native American cultures, but all indigenous cultures. Also, we're all kind of indigenous if we go far back enough. We are the original people from somewhere. But regardless, when we say indigenous today, it's more of a political thing. It's more of a subsistence strategy thing. It's closer to it. But like Bigfoot, Sasquatch, whatever. I mean, this is a Native American, specifically from the Pacific Northwest and a little bit out of there. This is a legend from their belief systems. The name Sasquatch is an anglicized version of the name Sasquatch, which is the name for this mythical creature that is supposed to live in the Pacific Northwest and a little bit out of there. So like, and there's other beliefs I want to say Lakota there's a lot of different ones, but the Lakota specifically believe in aliens. They believe that they had interaction with aliens, as well as the Dogon people in Africa. And almost all belief systems in world history have some sort of belief in spirits. But like, they'll dismiss those ideas. They have dismissed those ideas. I mean, Flint and other people have, but there's nobody going at them saying they're disrespecting indigenous belief systems when they say something like that. So they're allowed to disrespect indigenous belief systems at the same time that they're calling out other people. It's like, for how they do it, it's just, it's using it's using, like, it's very offensive to me as somebody who legitimately has respect for Native American cultures and indigenous cultures in general, for people to be like weaponizing it and actually not respecting these belief systems while claiming that they do. I really, really don't like it. I don't like to come out and like, and say in general, I don't like to say like, I don't like what someone's saying. I don't appreciate that, but like, that is how I feel about it. I don't think they should be canceled or anything for that. But that coupled with the fact that they attack other people for it is egregious to me. And this was in the thread that Flint did. It was in that first thread. He shows this thing of beliefs in paranormal. He compares belief in ancient aliens or belief in an ancient civilization, all these other paranormal things. It was like a list of paranormal things, and all of them are believed by some indigenous people somewhere. But it doesn't matter when they do it. And that's really unfortunate.
Yeah, it's I've mentioned this actually a few times when I've done research on a lot of different sites and stuff, where the Native Americans and the archaeologists will, when they butt heads, the archaeologists, like, there'll be this article in the Seattle Times, and it'll quote the archaeologist, and the archaeologist will be like, "Well, we're interested in finding out if this is, tell us anything about the genetics and makeup of the people that came through the Northwest Passage, blah, 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 or the Bering Land Bridge, excuse me." And the Native American dude will be like, "We don't need any of that shit. Our people came from the earth. We came from caves in this region. Our fucking ancestors told us we came from caves in this region. We all know we came from caves in this region. I don't fucking need you. Get the fuck out of here." Thank you, yeah. Hathor, Hrothgar the Dane, that word that I can't pronounce for
Hrothgar.
Shit. Thanks. Hrothgar. Something you like went that. And went and gifted 10 de-dunking memberships, man. That's 10 of you guys got Christmas early this year. Excuse me. But that does make me scratch my head, though. It's like, I mean, on the one hand, it should be obvious. It should be obvious as sin to anybody who like knows anything about science, that science and any sort of religious belief that has anything to do with the origins of anything, or that's going to explain anything. They're going to be mutually exclusive. You're not going to just see a lot of people. I'm sure I'm going to piss some people off with this. You see a lot of people try to do it with the Bible, and they'll be like, "Well, you can take this part of the Bible and try to shoehorn science in." And you see Muslims do it with the fucking Quran. This is just an attempt to reconcile things. The fact of the matter is, spirituality is one set of ideas, and science is another. So when the two come into contact with each other, the scientists invariably will be stepping on the beliefs of indigenous people. There's no two ways about it.
Yeah. Yeah. Seriously. Did you notice? Wait, did you already say thanks to him for that? I didn't realize what he did. He gifted 10 men.
Yeah, I did. I thank him. That's awesome. I appreciate that. Now there's a whole bunch of people that are members now. This is tremendous. It is. It's picked randomly by YouTube. I'm sorry. But yeah, I appreciate that. It is, for a quick second, I really appreciate all the support that I've gotten over the last couple of years doing this. And the last 6 months plus has been really nice. Being able to segue into doing this shit as a job is pretty tremendous. I mean, I'm able to do the research that I want to do and take time to do the things for my kids and blah, 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 blah. So without going too far, I appreciate it, everybody. Thank you so much. Yeah. Anyway,
you do, man. You've earned all of this.
Well, thanks. Off. I appreciate it, but
for until I came along, being alone, taking all this crap.
Yeah, well,
you still take 80% of it, but
that's all right. Yeah. Every now and again, like, it's kind of funny right now. Fucking Jimbo's got all Flint Dibbles fucking targeting him. He's like, I've been evicted from Flint's head, and Jim's taking my home.
It's so easy. All he has to do is, like, we're talking about Jimmy Corsetti, by the way. Yeah, all he has to do is, like, tweet at him one time, and Flint loses his mind. He's not, like, it's a legitimately bad idea for him to be a content creator, because, like, this is what you deal with. Like, Flint's complaining about, you know, people giving him negative stuff, but, like, that's just what happens. I get it all the time, with or without Flint. It's just, if you reach tens of thousands of people, a certain percentage of them are going to be upset with you, and a certain percentage of them are going to say crazy stuff to you, like threats, like crazy threats that you would never say to somebody in real life. But like, I brush it off. It doesn't matter. It's not real.
No. I get all kinds of goofy shit said. Thank you, America's Pagan Prepper. Appreciate that. Yeah, I get all kinds of crazy shit said to me all the time. I don't really, it's whatever. I mean, like I told Flint on Twitter with the, when I went on Joe Rogan, if I would have taken a 5-minute spiel and gone off about how shitty Taylor Swift is, I could have fully expected a pile of Swifties in my fucking inbox when I got back home telling me what a fucking idiot I am. And you know 100%. What? That would be, I wouldn't be responsible. Don't call me a victim blamer here, because I wouldn't be responsible for them sending each individual message. Each person that sent them knew that. But just like if I park my car in a shitty fucking part of town and I leave the windows and doors down and unlocked and I leave a laptop on the fucking passenger seat, I can't expect it to be there when I get back. That's Garen fucking Teed. And it's Garen fucking Teed. If I would have went and talked shit about Taylor Swift, I'd have an inbox full of Swifties yelling at me. This isn't complicated. So had he gone on there and just beat Graham Hancock in a debate, he'd have people pissed off at him. But when he goes on there and lies, well, now, dude, you got people that are Graham Hancock fans that think you are a fucking piece of trash.
Yeah. Also, surprise. You should probably just stop lying. You'd probably get it less, but he has semblance of responsibility for his own actions, which is embarrassing for a grown man, especially a professor.
It's insane. I mean, I could only imagine taking his classes. You know, I talk to a lot of archaeologists behind the scene, and the people that work with him and worked around him and stuff are not fans.
I'm not surprised, but I've never actually talked to anybody that's worked with him, but they can't say anything. I talked to an archaeologist, and just so you know, like, we talk to archaeologists. Like, those people, those archaeologists that talk to us, and this is why I always say that archaeologists are not that bad in general. You're seeing the loudest ones. I'll speak for myself. I don't hate archaeologists. I don't think you do either.
Nope.
But like, and I have them on my channel when they'll come on, but a lot would come on if it wouldn't get heat on them and legitimately might possibly harm their career. And that's what we're talking about here. You can't, like, what is socially acceptable within the field that you're in, it matters a lot. And I'm not going to encourage somebody to come on my channel if it's going to hurt their career in any way. That's not what I want.
No.
In other fields, they have no problem coming on, historians, political scientists, stuff like that.
Yeah, you have some pretty good guests on there, I've seen.
You might really like, I did a 3-hour interview with that professor he was a visiting professor at Columbia before. Now he's at the University of Bergen in Norway. Really, really cool guy. It was the longest one I've ever done just because we just kept going. He started showing me, he had his grandfather's postcard collection, which was like, it weighed 800 kilograms, over 2,000 pounds. Yeah, he had everything. He was like, wow. Oh, you're from Connecticut. Let me flip through here. Pulls out like 5 from Connecticut, a state that has a population of 3 million people, by the way. And this guy's Austrian. Everywhere in the world. And he started showing me them from Chichen Itza and stuff from the 20s. Susquehanna he had. I actually told him I'm going to send some of the Susquehanna ones to Graham. I'm sure he'll enjoy those.
Yeah. I'll give it about another 15 minutes or so, and I think I have to call it a night. 12:30 mark here for me. I do have to get up to take the kids to school in the morning, but
sweet. It's 3:15, so I'll welcome that.
All right. Sorry, man. I'm sorry to have to do this so late. Fine. Like no I was worries. Telling you before we got started, my kid's doing wrestling right now, and I didn't get custody of him to like go to fucking wrestling by yourself. Daddy's got a live stream to do. It's actually hilarious because all these times, like ever since I've had custody of him, which is almost 10 years now, he'll be in his bedroom playing video games, and I'll walk in there and be like, "Hi guys, welcome back to my live stream." And then, "Dad, stop!" And he'll mute his mic and quit embarrassing me and blah 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 blah. But so now I it's like, again, "Hey dude, try to keep it down a little bit. I'm going to be doing a live stream downstairs." "Hi Dad, welcome back to my live stream." Fucking shit goes full circle, and I can't complain about it one bit. All right, all right. Shit. Well,
I mean, you know, YouTube's cool. So, like, he's got a dad that's a popular YouTuber. That must be pretty cool, right?
Well,
or no,
it's catch 22. Like he's happy. He talked to told some of his friends I was on Joe Rogan, and then his friends started picking on me. So he or on him about it. So he wasn't too keen on it then.
Why? How?
Because kids pick on him about it. Just, oh, your dad's on Joe Rogan. Your dad's on Joe Rogan. And then that's basically his big thing is he's happy that I don't have a meme channel. He's like really happy that I don't do commentary or anything like that. He's,
oh yeah.
Cause he's like his friends would see me. He's afraid. Like I fuck with him all the time to tell him I'm going to make a meme channel and my very first one's going to go viral, dude. And I'm going to be like, you just got Fortnited. And he's like, no. that one might actually go viral. Don't do that.
Yeah.
It's stupid shit. But yeah, his biggest fear is he has to go to school and like deal with his dumbass dad being some. To his age, like he watches my videos every now and again, he says they're boring. But to his age, a YouTuber is somebody that Johnny Somali, for fuck's sake, right?
Oh, that's no. Like, yeah. No, I figured they're not going to be watching you. I mean, what's your audience like? 35 plus, mostly, probably.
There's a lot of 20 year olds and stuff, but yeah, there's a lot of people my age, and yeah, it's about 50% 35 plus, I think.
It's only mine's more than 50% 35 plus.
Really?
Yeah, like 35 all the way up, all those demographics. It's more than 50%.
I have to look. It's been a bit, but it seemed like it was about half of it was over that. I had more younger guys than I thought I would, but
I've gotten more younger over time, but my audience has always been older than me, which is I guess most people are older than me, but
Johnny's going to be a good cabbage farmer. Don't worry, Dan. Yes, he's going to be in Korea for a long time.
Yeah, Johnny Somali is the absolute worst. Fucking all of us.
Even the Somalia. I saw some Somalia YouTuber complaining about it. He's over in Korea right now, and he's like, "God damn it, quit using the name Somali in your thing." Fuck, because they embarrass it. We have enough Somalians making us look bad. We don't need you too. He says.
Yeah.
Somebody just accused you of being gay. Now that's just terrible. You're only as gay as you feel. So, you know, that's more like gay. That's you never can tell.
You looking for a boyfriend or something, bro? You find me on Twitter. Hit me up.
My friends say my dad's not coming back home. He's just looking for the milk, as all the kids say.
Yeah, went out. How can they? Well, they'll make fun of anything at that age. Doesn't matter. But but like, what does their dad do? An accountant?
Yeah.
How is that not worse? Come on, man.
Well, a lot of that stuff, like you say, they're just making fun of anything at that age.
Yeah, exactly.
Some of the memes that I'll see that my son likes on Instagram, I'll just look at it, shake my head, be like, God damn, dude, what the hell's wrong with you, kid?
Yeah.
12-year-old in chat.
I just looked at mine. It's about 53% over 35. It used to be more. It used all to right. be more over 35, but now I have a lot more 25 to 34, which is
well,
fun.
You got get to work doing that, saying things like Skibbity Rizzler and shit. Talk about the Hawk Tua podcast. I tell my son that at least once a month, by the way, that I've been invited on the Talk Tua podcast. And that, I'm going to be reckoning on my accent here to go talk to that gal. God damn it, Dad, no. Now that's actual threats to him there.
Oh, apparently he wasn't calling me gay.
Oh, okay.
Regardless, I mean, doesn't bother me anyway.
Yeah, I'm old enough that I don't care. That's yeah. Back in my day, that was a huge insult. But back in my day, you could say the F version of that without having your videos demonetized and shit. Right. The Bill and Ted's commercial, like you remember, you've seen Bill and Ted's Excellent Adventure.
I have not, but I know what it is.
Okay. At one part, they think they both get separated and one thinks the other one's dead. And they find each other, Bill, Ted, and they hug and they jump back immediately. They're bags, right? So that was in the fucking trailer that you would see on TV in 88, 89. They didn't fucking, crazy. That wasn't a bad word. It was on fucking 6 o'clock at night. You'd see it on TV.
Yeah. What's less funny is the actual violence against gay people at the time, but
thank you. And that's just it. Things have changed a lot since then. Thank God. It's one of the things like, you know, I have a lot of friends that are pretty conservative, and I always mention it every year around the gay pride time. You mentioned the Stonewall riots earlier, and it's mm-hmm. like that's why they picked that month, because if you read the history of the Stonewall riots, man, that shit was fucked. Mm-hmm. Like that was there. Here's a club that the mob ran that they didn't even put fucking plumbing in because they didn't have to, because they could just, they used it to extort rich gay guys. If you're a fucking rich gay guy, the mob would extort you. And that was the only reason they ran the fucking place. And the gay guys still, at least they had a place to go. So they were like, all right, well, we're going to go. And then the cops kept fucking with them. And then finally they were just like, you know what? Fuck this shit. And you know, it's, like many other times in American history, the standing up for their rights isn't exactly viewed in a positive light by everybody. But at the end of the day, they're not trying to hurt anybody else. And that's the big thing here. It's one thing if they're trying to bring 14-year-old boys in there, but when it's just two consenting adults, they should... Hot take, two consenting adults should be able to shoot each other with freaking paintball guns in the nude if they want all day long. But they should be able to shoot each other with blowguns in the nude all day long if that's really what they want. As long as they're not killing each other, they should be able, consenting adults, man, fucking knock yourselves out. Whatever your kink is, go hog wild, as far as I'm concerned.
Yeah, just don't harm kids or animals. That's all I care about.
Kids, animals, or other adults.
Pick or other adults if they're not consenting, right?
Yeah. Make sure your partner's in on, and I don't mean in on this because you bought them a 20 sack of some fucking opiate or whatever. I mean, they're actually in with this.
Right, right. I think there are still some states where mutual combat is acceptable.
Nice.
And I mean, like, you know, mutual combat is what it's called legally, but it's like, you know, fighting with fists. I think they're, I don't think dueling is allowed with guns anymore, but it might be somewhere.
There was a naked paintball duel. Who's going to step up? That's funny. There was actually, if you, Action Pursuit Games magazine was from the 90s when paintball was pretty new. And you, if you buy the early ones from the early 90s, you'll find there was a field. I can't remember where, but in the classified section, there was a field that had once a year would have a nude paintball tournament. Yeah, fuck that noise. Awesome. If you've ever been shot with the paintball, you know that ain't something.
It's fine with clothes on.
Yeah.
Except in a few specific spots, like the hand that hurts.
The when I played in tournaments back in the day, and we would wear a mask because your face is softer than the plastic mask, and if the ball bounced off, you weren't dead.
Oh god.
So
goggles though, right?
Yeah, you wear goggles.
Okay.
And you know how skaters would wear a cap with the bill up, right?
Yeah.
Like, okay, they made specialized hats with neoprene bills, and you'd flip them up, and then if it hit you right in the middle of the skull, it had bang. Right?
Oh, nice.
and like you would cut your camouflage stuff so your belt would go underneath your clothes in the front so that the clasp for your belt wouldn't be exposed. Like anything you could get that was hard. There was all these kinds of little dumbass things you do to keep the balls from breaking on you. But the worst of them was not wearing a mask, because, man, you see so many people with busted lips over that one.
Yeah. If it doesn't break, it hurts more too.
Oh, man, fuck, it hurts like hell. I've still got to
freeze the balls.
No, because if you freeze them, they're going to change size, right?
Oh, okay. Okay.
I've got a scar still on my chest. It's a small round scar. Like, if you've ever been shot with a paintball, you'll see the little ring that it leaves. I've got a scar like that where it was indoor field, and I was shot. The guy, I turned a corner, and the guy put the gun, and it went right through my fatigues, like in between the buttons and right up against my skin. That fucking hurt.
Yeah,
that made me jump.
It did.
Hey, dudes, it's late to the party tonight. Wonder if you two have seen Raja's Hood's paper on how the Great Pyramid was constructed. Raja, who does? I have not. Have you?
No, I'm sorry. I'm sorry.
No, you're fine. You're fine. I'm going to type in Raja Huda here, because that is a name I will forget. And if I just type in pyramid, then it will be remembered in my searches. Look at that. So easy to do. It's almost like I live in the modern day.
Oh, this is from last month.
Paintball is LGBT. It's rainbow colored. 1990s videos, bum wars and street four fights. You fucking, those bum fights videos are worth so fucking much money now. Jesus Christ. Really? Oh, those VHS tapes, dude. The VHS market is nuts right now. And there are certain tapes that are hard to get like that are just dumb. just dumb money.
There was a guy who did bum fights who went on Dr. Phil, but when he went on Dr. Phil, he dressed up like Dr. Phil.
He let him off for about 15 minutes. That's kicked so him right funny. The fuck off. Add desert kites. Done.
There's an organization now that has some pretty good YouTube videos called Street Beefs. And unlike bum fights, which is obviously a disgusting, immoral activity where you extort people at the worst of their lives, Street Beefs is from consenting adults and is an organization that's committed to solving issues through non-gun violence. And also through, and also they have like anti-addiction stuff. So it's a really good thing. Jeez, Rothgar.
Wow. Thank you. 10 more members. Look at that.
Good Lord. I hope you come hang out with me too.
But, that stuff's nuts. Okay. I had somebody ask what my most expensive VHS tape is. That's a tough one because I sold all of the horror that was really rare, and I collect Betamax, to be honest with you. I still have some VHS, but
Betamax, huh?
Yeah, I'm going to yard sales, man. I tried to keep the shit that was like rare, and Betamax is just so much harder to find. But like I've got a movie. There's the tire company, the Pirelli tire company. They have a calendar that they do every year, and it's really hard to get. It's really expensive, and it's got like a bunch of naked ladies in it. And I've got a Betamax tape of The Women on the Wall, the making of one of those calendars. So that's probably worth a couple hundred, I'm guessing. I've got Jim Carrey's first real thing in it, even before Earth Girls Are Easy. He did this like it was straight to VHS smut tape called The Sex and Violence Family Hour, and it's got a bunch of different stand-up comedy bits, but there's a bunch of boobs in it too, and Jim Carrey's in it. I got a few like that. I got one called Jesse's Girls, which is the very first rape revenge film ever made. A girl's a cowgirl and her husband's killed and she's taken advantage of. And so she gets a bunch of other cowgirls together and they go chase them down. And it's Before I Spit on Your Grave. So that's kind of a big deal if you know what that movie is.
I don't know any of those movies just listed, but that sounds like a cool movie. Bunch of cowgirls chasing down bad guys. That sounds awesome.
It's actually pretty fun. I was kind of a leery to watch it, but I was told that I should check it out, and that it was better than it looked, because a lot of those revenge type of films, a lot of them are just sensationalized smut, right?
Yeah,
and it's
okay. I'm not familiar with the genre, I guess.
Rape revenge is one where a girl is taken advantage of by a man or a group of men, and then she goes and kills all the motherfuckers.
Oh, okay. Wow.
So, yeah, I Spit on Your Grave would be the most notorious of those. It was one that was made in the 70s, and everybody and their brother knows. I Spit on Your Grave is a fucking, probably a $200 VHS tape in the original big box relief. Anyway, we're getting late now. We're talking about all kinds of goofy shit. I would love to keep going, Hrothgar, but it's midnight. I got a 12:30. I got to take a kid to school in the morning. Sam's got to get up at some part.
Yeah, I got an interview 5 p.m. tomorrow. I'm not setting an alarm.
Oh, all right. Well, good deal.
Yeah, I don't. This is what I do. This and crypto trading. So,
oh, how's that working for you lately?
Very, very, very well.
Did you get it? Did you do some rug pulling on those Talk Tua coins?
Oh, I meant to bring that up when you did. No, I don't do a lot of meme coins. I stick with I stick with good
actual coins.
Good actual like stuff.
Bitcoin.
And I do DeFi, which is like decentralized finance. Like,
oh, okay.
You know, it's the whole like, you know, you sell shovels to the miners. DeFi is the way to go, man. Like I hold good coins and they pay me every single day. And of course they change value over time, but, yeah, DeFi is, even most of the, I've been doing crypto for almost 10 years. So it's huge, but DeFi is the way to go. I'm like, it's, I can't get into it right now.
Yeah, you're
right.
At the end. Maybe there's a lot. Yeah. It's a big rabbit hole. I'm aware. Awesome. All right. Well, thanks again, Sam. Thank you all so much for showing up here. So thank you, those who gave super chats, and Hrothgar, thanks for like hooking everybody up with so many memberships. That was awesome of you.
Yeah, thank you. And all right. Check out my channel for those videos on Flint Dibble's.
Yep. Link things. Is in the description for link is straight to his channels at the top, and at the bottom is both of those videos. So check it all out there.
And the Graham Hancock interview will be out in a couple of days. Hopefully tomorrow. We'll see. Got to make it as good as possible.
Awesome. All right. Thank you all so much. And you guys have a good night.